need the United States economy to grow at over 2%. We need the U.S. economy to grow at 3%, especially with the growing deficits the federal government has. And so much of this money, not just the project, is going to be coming from the private sector, from savings accounts, from pension accounts, from insurance companies, and on and on and on.
That's right. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink just urged everyday citizens to think about growing with the United States, framing the plunder of retirement nest eggs as some kind of patriotic duty. Fink didn't mince words about the scale of the heist. The U.S. economy must accelerate from a sluggish 2% growth to a robust 3% just to handle ballooning federal deficits, and that money is going to be coming from the private sector, savings accounts, from pension accounts, and insurance companies. He painted a picture of exploding demand for electrons powering these data behemoths.
But as the governor was talking about, the need for electrons is growing every day. You know, if we're going to be the leader in technology, which we are, if we are going to be the leader in AI, which we presently are, it's just going to require trillions of dollars of investments. And if we don't invest in it, China will be the global leader in this.
Translation, your 401ks and IRAs aren't safe havens anymore. They're the piggy bank for BlackRock's vision of an AI-dominated future where trillions get redirected into projects that conveniently align with the asset manager's own massive holdings in data centers and energy infrastructure.
Residents were told today that actually we're not going to provide you electricity anymore. The Nevada-based power company that is providing electricity to the residents of Lake Tahoe informed them today that, sorry, all the electricity we make, every watt of power that we generate is going to have to go to a nearby data center, and therefore you have until the end of next year to find a new source of electricity, and after that, we can't help you.
Thanks to the data center overlords, 49,000 residents, mostly on the California side of Lake Tahoe, are about to lose access to 75% of their electricity supply after May of 2027. Liberty Utilities is killing off 75% of the energy provided by NV Energy because NV Energy says it needs every megawatt for its own unprecedented data center growth. A massive international American tourist mecca packed with ski resorts, casinos, and 28 million visitors is getting squeezed by Google, Apple, Microsoft, and BlackRock. This is why we can't have nice things. Data centers already guzzled 22% of Nevada's electricity in 2024 alone and are cranking up to hit 35% by 2030 and a staggering 5,900 megawatts of demand by 2033. That's 2.8 times the entire output of the Hoover Dam.
We don't need another data center. You don't know what the health impact is. You got them all crunched together. You're going to have a mass exodus. You're going to ruin this community. You're going to ruin it. Ruin it if you let this continue.
Are you a member of a community where you've learned a data center is being proposed in your county? Have you decided to join your community in learning more about how this will impact farmland, the environment, your quality of life from the constant humming, noise, and light pollution? Are you concerned that your water may be drained by the data center or contaminated as we're seeing across the country? Well, you just might be a terrorist of some sort. According to 1,000 pages of unpublished reports from the Department of Homeland Security, FBI, and fusion centers, as reported by Wired.
The data center scam exposes the raw cynicism of the financial overlords at BlackRock, who manage trillions in ordinary Americans' hard-earned retirement funds while positioning themselves to profit handsomely from the very boom they're engineering at our expense. Fink's pitch isn't about national strength. It's a veiled demand to raid pensions for private gain, all while ordinary families foot the bill for skyrocketing energy costs, potential blackouts, and an unaccountable surveillance state powered by these AI fortresses designed to roll in the CBDC. This is how the republic falls, one raided pension at a time.
Most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
To the War Room, and I'm your host, Chris Don T. Harris, filling in for the Honorable Harrison Smith, and we have a great show lined up for you today. In the first hour, Mark Lynch will be joining us. We'll be diving into his candidacy and primary against Lindsey Graham. In the second hour, we got Tammy Clark. They'll be joining us. We're going to be talking AI data centers. And in the third hour, Donald Schmidt, the protege of Alan J. Hynek, the Project Blue Book expert and contractor for the government back in the 60s and 70s will be joining us to discuss disclosure. So make sure that you guys are tuning in. Tell your friends to tune in. Drop some comments in the chat. Let us know what you think about today's broadcast throughout the program. But before we do all that, we really want to talk about how you can support this broadcast, because not everyone can be an info warrior 24/7. Not everyone can focus on this world. Some of us have families. Some of us have work. Some of us are busy doing day-to-day work, just trying to stay afloat, to be honest. So a great way to support this broadcast is to head on down to the Alex Jones store, where we are currently having a buy one bottle and get one free of T3 iodine and methylene blue tincture. That's a great deal right now. I mean, you're not going to get a deal like that anywhere else. Buy one, get one. Go to Amazon, look at the pricing, compete. What we have is the best quality products on the internet available for you guys. And what's best about it is you support this broadcast, because we can't do this for you. We can't do this without you. Like, listen, it's you guys who make this broadcast possible. Without you guys, this broadcast doesn't exist. And is there another broadcast out there that you can say is yours, that is yours from the beginning, that you've supported from the beginning, for those that are joining us and just learning about the things that we're talking about and how the world has turned into upside down world with Donald Trump turning his back on all the people that voted for him amongst everything else? No, you're not going to hear it anywhere else. You're going to hear propaganda on most stations. A lot of the podcasters are bought and paid for by government, are bought and paid for by their advertisers. And the mainstream, obviously, has been doing that for a long time. But we are bought and paid for by you, the listener. And without you guys, we just can't do it. So I want you guys to take a look, head on down to the Alex Jones store, you know, mosey around, lollygag around, and see what's going on there. Check out some of the new swag. Boy, there's a lot of new swag over there. I've been checking out some of the shirts. The designs just keep getting better. There's, like, get your garb on. Let people know where Alex Jones is now located and the War Room is now located. So that being said, today's broadcast is going to be a very interesting show. I'm really excited to get into some of the topics and some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. And one of the things I really want to talk about is, has Donald Trump lost his mind? Has he? It seems like the new, the Never Trump movement, which was in part started by like Charlie Sykes and other people that joined in, like Lindsey Graham. That's the new MAGA. What's going on in the world? I thought war in Iran was bad. Remember, he'd never do that like Joe Biden. And here we are, war with Iran. Well, why are we in war with Iran? Do you want to send your children off to die? And it's really interesting to talk about because the whole process started in 1953, right? 1953 was Project Ajax, where the CIA and MI6 infiltrated Iran to, and they had infiltrators that were trying to spread communist propaganda, right? And essentially we put in our own shills. We ended up winning that war with the hope of overthrowing the government. And then in 1979, they had a revolution where again, we tried to infiltrate Iran and we thought we'd go ahead and, you know, overthrow the new Islamist state. And it didn't really turn out that way, did it? Right. And so now we have Iran that really is the gatekeeper preventing the United States or us, potentially a puppet for Israel, of trying to take over that region. Really, that's what this is all about. That's really why we're over there. Do they have weapons of mass destruction? It reminds me of that skit that they used to have on The Whitest Kids You Know, where they have the retarded kid and they all want to beat him up because he has a Nerf nuke. And they're like, well, we should maybe beat him up before he uses it. He doesn't seem mentally sane. We got to go there and take that Nerf nuke from him before he uses it. Oh, my goodness. And they're begging their mom for cash so they can get two Nerf nukes and everything else. And then it turns out, you know, the moral of the story is should you be attacking somebody before they actually are an aggressor? And that's a violation of the non-aggression principle, which I firmly believe in. We shouldn't be going to war without an act in Congress, right? So at the end of the day, what's going on in Iran in the destabilization and amongst everything else is a power control system where we really want to gain control of that area. But why? Probably. Well, I'd look at the AIPAC lobby. I'd look at the Israeli lobby. And a lot of people are going to say, Chris Don, you're anti-Semitic for pointing out basically facts. And really, if it's facts that we have that kind of influence, is it really anti-Semitic? Like, it's funny how it works. You saw Mark Levine calling Ron Paul a cockroach. If Ron Paul called Mark Levine a cockroach, well, that would be anti-Semitic. So it really doesn't work both ways. And it's really not on fair grounds because they try to become a protected class because of World War II. And I understand you should be able to question your government. You should be able to question where the money comes from. And you should be able to question the influence behind the people. And I think it's okay to do that. And I think you can do that without being anti-Semitic to say, hey, look, we had $20 million coming into the Thomas Massey primary, right? More than any other primary in history to overthrow a Republican. We could have used that money to switch a bunch of swing state seats, but no, they'd rather spend it on trying to overthrow Thomas Massey, which, as many of you know, I was down there covering that event. I want to go ahead and roll this video. This video that we're about to play is Rex Jones. Rex Jones, if in case you missed it, spoke at the Rage Against the War Machine rally last weekend, and he really connected with a lot of the people there, and he brought some interesting points in. So if you guys could go ahead, let's roll the clip of Rex Jones' speech at the Rage Against the War Machine rally.
Well, guys, America's got to decide to stop picking up the knife. And that's what tonight is all about. We let another country illegally take us to war. Marco Rubio admitted this on March 1st, the day after the conflict started. Israel was going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in the retaliation. So we had to join in on the strike. It's only 24 hours. That's what we were told. Now, we're in it later. Trump is negotiating. It's still going on. We all know this. It hasn't stopped. It won't stop until we all do something about it. This is about the identity and the spirit of the American people. Do we co-sign murder, rape, regime change, color revolution, destruction, or do we stand up and say, enough is enough? It is time to end the thousand-year lunar Reich in this country. It is time to end the era of old people making all the decisions for us, sending young men like me off to die. I'm 23 years old. I'm not going. I'm not going to die from any of my life. The idea that that is somehow an unpatriotic thing to say, it's the most patriotic thing around. You know, I want to have children. I want to continue America. My children know about this country. I don't want to die in the desert for a foreign state that's committing multiple genocides.
Yeah.
You would think that this is a very simple concept, a very basic concept to understand. We have all seen the footage, the videotapes, the photos of the genocide in Gaza, the mass slaughter and annexation of Lebanon, the killing of the schoolgirls, the blowing up the bridge, along with the giant poison cloud of acid rain that rained over a city of 10 million people, giving untold thousand cancers and other deformities, birth defects, disabilities. We don't even care. You know, in America, the Iranians, they line up to defend the power lines. We would circle the Burger King. Okay? We would circle the Chick-fil-A. We would protect the McDonald's because that's our spirit. And you have to ask, that's not the America of Theodore Roosevelt, of Thomas Jefferson, of George Washington, of Abraham Lincoln. That's not even America, is it? And you think, well, we still live in the greatest country in the world. We still have all this nice stuff. What's been taken from us? What's been taken from us is our dignity. Okay? You are not human beings if you accept this behavior any longer. What is being done to the Palestinians and what is being done to the Iranians will be done to you if you co-sign and accept it. This is very core and very basic to understand. The same track and trace digital AI hell they use the mosaic on the Palestinians, that's coming home. The same billionaires that do it over there are going to do it over here. I want to take a little bit of time to tell you about my background in case you don't know me. So I grew up at the birthplace of alternative media, also known as Free Speech Systems, also known as Infowars.com. I spent 17 years in the birthplace of alternative media in our office, which has now been taken from us. And my father was deplatformed, censored, sued for $1 billion, in part because he dared to question a mass casualty event. Jesse Waters, Sean Hannity, Rachel Maddow, left, right, center, it doesn't matter. They deny genocide every night! Are you kidding me? Where is the equality in our justice system? Where is the recognition of hypocrisy within the public? The public doesn't know what hypocrisy means. They can't spell it. 54% of Americans don't read on a sixth grade level, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, I'm in the talking business. I've been in the talking business all my life. And people criticize, they say, we gotta take action, we gotta do something about this. And I 110% agree. But, alternatively, on the same hand, if you're not out there every day waking at least one more person up to what we are paying for and what we are doing, you are a part of the problem. Okay? Yeah. This is about starting a cascade that flows like crushing water and drowns all of the poison out. That is what this is all about. Okay? It is your responsibility as American citizens to help the public understand how much they've been robbed, how much they've been raped, how much they've been stolen from, because we're so stupid and dumbed down. We could get into all the facets of open-air prison for decades and the multiple genocides and, you know, Israel, our aircraft carrier in the Levant, controlling and doing all these things. But really, it's us. We co-sign it. We're the pay pigs, people. That's the reality. That's the reality, okay? They don't do anything without our consent and express permission, all right? Netanyahu waddles out, and he says,
what you're going to do, you give me $3 billion a year because I buy American ammunition from
the tax. Okay, so it's a good thing I sell you a gun? Can you go shoot up people? That's a good thing? That's what we do, guys. We're an accessory after and before the fact. And it's time to wake up to that basic reality. So. What Joe said was so poignant and so beautiful about this being an anti-war movement, because I know there's all sorts of domestic policy that we can agree on, disagree on, whatever. The core is it's all downstream of the illegal wars. Okay, and without the money going to that, we would live in paradise! Would we not? $10 billion spent since the Gulf War, Iraq, Afghanistan, Ukraine, now Iran, Gaza, Lebanon, you name it, okay? That's where your money went. That's why the Burger King is $18, okay? That's the inflation, that's the rape! Don't you understand? You've all been raped! And we do nothing about it. So I call for you to wake up. I call for you to hear that gross language I use and realize that's been done to you and you do not consent to it. Serious. It's time to start acknowledging how bad the situation actually is. And I was a supporter of President Trump for a straight decade. I love that guy. Okay, I got my dad to support it. I was watching back in 2015, the first Republican National Convention debate, 2016, the primary, right? And I see him up there on that stage in my shoulder bomb water park, and I say, that guy's going to be president. My dad goes, you're retarded. But I was right! And I worked on it on a period of weeks and months, and I finally got him to accept it. He had him on the show. He credited me with it. It makes me puke now to think about. Because I recognized the quality in him that would propel him to the presidency, but I didn't understand what it was. And now I understand what it is. It's the money problem. If you want to get paid, if your friends want to get paid, then just go to Washington, D.C. All you got to do is generate a couple of these, you know, and you'll get paid forever. You know, American dead bodies in those coffins. Isn't that nice? You all paid for it. You paid for it. You eat it. Seriously. I'm sorry to get aggressive about that, but that's true. So here's the thing about Trump. You cannot divorce the slaughter, the money laundering, the financial crimes, the war crimes themselves from the initial crime, which is the war of aggression. The chief prosecutor at Nuremberg made this very clear. All subsequent war crimes are wrapped up in the initial war of aggression. And in the greatest country in the world, we shouldn't let another state take us to war. These are very dark topics. These are very scary things to talk about. And I want to encourage you, we have people that have light in us, that have that light of peace in us, that light of Jesus Christ in us, if you would, right?
We'll come back here to
make the human connection with people, because people are not used to being treated like humans. They are treated like economic units. They are treated like programmable
robots. Rage Against the War Machine rally in Grand Rapids. And as you can tell, Rex Jones is passionate. He's bringing awareness. And that's what the youth want to see. That's the message that the youth believe in. And I think a majority of people that aren't boomers are seeing that what we're doing is a crime. It's against the promises of what the president claimed he was going to do when he got elected, right? He said, no new wars. I kept this out of wars the first term. I'll do it again the second term. I remember a year or two ago, I was hosting a broadcast. I said, don't be surprised if Donald Trump leads us right into the New World Order because of the fact, you know, the conservatives would accept the New World Order as long as he led us there. And that's where we're going. We're getting betrayal on every sense and on every topic. And now we have Donald Trump saying, oh, yeah, Lindsey Graham, he's a great guy. Lindsey Graham is so good. That's who we need. Lindsey Graham. Well, I'll tell you, that is the swamp. Lindsey Graham is the definition of a neoconservative, of a rhino. But yet, you know, they're trying to redefine terms and call Thomas Massie a rhino, somebody who stands for the people that the people adore. You know what? I was in Kentucky covering that event, and there was a, like, it was packed at Thomas Massie's rally. I mean, if you went down to Ed El Rhino's, I call him El Rhino's, it's El Rhino or whatever his name is. I call him El Rhino, you know, because Ed Del Rhino. Because he's really a rhino at the end of the day. But he had like 20 or 30 people there. It was sad. It's like, and most of the money that came in against Thomas Massie was coming from outside of Kentucky. It wasn't even the people from Kentucky that paid for their own enslavement. It was people from outside that were investing, AIPAC and other organizations. And the question is like, should we allow this at the end of the day? Because these are the people that are funding wars. These are the people that are really pushing towards the death of innocent people. And I'm seeing on all these posts and all these comments. By the way, Joe Kent just shared a video that I published of him talking about being anti-war from the Rage Against the War Machine rally. And there's all these comments that are like, oh, yeah, you traitor. And how can you? Okay, they're going to bomb us. And I'm like, how do you know that? How do you know they're going to bomb us? And it's funny, you go on all these little profiles on their X accounts, and they got little pictures of Jesus, because bombing another country is exactly what Jesus Christ would do. Right? That's the right thing to do, right? Where did Jesus ever bomb anyone? He said, have a sword to protect yourself. But he didn't say, be the aggressor. And that's the world we're living in. That's what we're seeing, is people all over the place have lost their mind. They don't think for themselves. Every idea that they're getting is being implanted into their brain. And then they go ahead and go along to get along because Donald Trump thinks it's funny and it's cool. And who knows how much of what the the whole propaganda machine was using was actually just AI bots, which will be funded by AI data centers in the future. Because if they have an army of AI, boy, that's a great, you know, social media control mechanism. Social engineering at its finest. MK Ultra brought to the max of mind control and trauma bond and being able to control the narrative. Because every time you made a post that was positive towards Thomas Massie, you had 8 people commenting and posting memes, and you look at their accounts, they all look like shill accounts with 100 friends. Of course they probably only have 100 friends if they're real people, because only somebody that dumb would want somebody like, you know, Ed Galrino, as I call him, the Rhino, in there. They just watched a bunch of AI slop propaganda showing Thomas Massie walking into a hotel room with some Democrats. And, you know, what kind of good comes out of the seeds you plant of deceit? You think you're going to get a good candidate on somebody who had a lie to get in there? Same thing with Donald Trump. I kind of had my suspicions about him from the get-go, but now he just confirms them with the things like going into Iran by not starting a grand jury to prosecute people who trafficked children in the Epstein files. Oh, my friends are in there. Is that what you voted for? But Thomas Massie is the new Rhino. He's the new Republican in name only. He's the fake Republican when he just stands with the American people most of the time. 90% of the time he voted with his Republican constituents, but they had to spend $20 million to get rid of him instead of flipping some seats we really needed? It's a message. It's a message to say, get in line or you're going to get out. You're going to be voted out. What's the answer? The answer is to run. Run for Congress. We need more people running for Senate. We need people running for school board. Make them spend all their money. All of a sudden, we hear Thomas Massie is going to run his campaign, potentially again in 2028. Why not make him spend another $20 to $25 million to guarantee Ed's seat? You know, a rubber stamp for Donald Trump. So at the end of the day, we got to ask ourselves, what kind of nation do we want to leave our children? And there's half the country and half these boomers, they get all their messages and all the seeds they plant in their brain to grow ideas are coming from Fox and CNN. And it's this tribal thing. Oh, it's Fox. Oh, it's CNN. But nobody really wants to buy into or understand what's really going on. It's tribalism at its finest. It's Green Bay Packers meets Chicago Bears. It's the Boston Red Sox against the New York Yankees. But nobody asks that maybe both could be wrong. Maybe Donald Trump isn't right. And maybe the Dems aren't right. Maybe the idea of going to war isn't right. Like Jesus Christ would definitely not go to war. And all these people who are persecuting anyone that's saying we need to get out of these wars, well, you go under profile, they're all Christian, they're all Christ-like, but then at the end of the day, none of them live it. They're a bunch of posers. Now, what side are you going to be on? Are you going to be on the righteous right side, or are you going to be running for your life like a wuss? Or are you going to fight for freedom, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the message of our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ? Joining us when we come back from break, we have Mark Lynch. He's running against Lindsey Graham. We're going to dive into what's going on with that race. Donald Trump, of course, says Lindsey Graham is a great guy. Can you believe that? The Never Trumper is the new mega. That's the world we live in. We'll be back after this break with Mark Lynch.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. The people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos. And Paul Revere, we appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen. But I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. You got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Across America, you can tell that libertarians are being targeted by the current administration. The current administration has been spending, you know, much of its time hacking and slashing against liberty lovers. Isn't that funny? Coming from a president who said he's one of the most libertarian presidents in history, and we're getting involved in Iran. And so what changed? What caused all this to change with the president? Well, I think it's pretty fascinating because it all seemed to take a big, deep turn with the release of the Epstein files. If there was one pivot, if there was one example of one location I could point to and say, this is where Donald Trump started to change. And it was when the Epstein files were released. And according to Marjorie Taylor Greene, the president fought tooth and nail to try to prevent these things from coming out. And who was responsible for that? Ro Khanna? And of course, Thomas Massie, Congressman Thomas Massie. And he brought out the victims, and we had press conferences, and we wanted accountability. That's all we really wanted. And isn't that what Donald Trump ran on? Accountability for the Epstein files, to release the names, to go after all the people that these children were trafficked to? So what kind of president would be protecting these criminals or want these criminals to be protected. Oh, they're my friends. Oh, they're my friends. What kind of friends do you have? Are those the type of friends that you want? Les Wexner? The person that gave Epstein all his money? And so now you got Donald Trump out there targeting people that have libertarian ideologies. Laura Loomer's like, oh, Rand Paul, you're next. Why are they focusing on these individuals? And maybe it's because they don't support the war in Iran, which we shouldn't be involved in the first place. What do we get out of the war in Iran? What is it that we get? We get our children dying. How does America benefit? Oh, they're not going to bomb us. How do we know that they were going to drop nuclear bombs on us to begin with? Our intel. You mean the intel that told us weapons of mass destruction? Oh, yeah, the New York Times. All right, they published that. Mainstream media. But you now have this administration turning its back and endorsing the Never Trumpers. They're endorsing everybody that they claim to be against, that they claim to the ideologies that they never wanted to support, that everyone who voted for President Trump were against. And now all of a sudden, the same people that were gung-ho about, you know, child trafficking are siding with the president going, oh, you know, the Epstein files, you know, it's a bunch of fake stuff. Joe Biden had it for 4 years. He probably messed with it and it's all not true. And, you know, we shouldn't really, you know, focus on that. We should move forward. We should move ahead. What would people like Thomas Jefferson or Abraham Lincoln say about the fact that it came out that our government is saturated with child traffickers or people that indulged in it, and those are the people setting the policies for America? And it's not just the politicians. It's all over Hollywood. Just look at the Diddy story. So who is it that Ghislaine Maxwell trafficked these children to? And obviously Donald Trump probably got an abrupt wake-up call to realize he's not in charge of Congress. Because Congress voted to release the Epstein files, and now we've learned that he's all over them. Not just them, but many other individuals. And although I've never seen or didn't see any real nail-in-the-coffin evidence that he was involved, Virginia Jeffries, she was gotten out of Mar-a-Lago. Surprise, surprise. So there are links, there are questions. And who were these children trafficked to that Ghislaine Maxwell went to jail for? We have all these questions. We got names in the documents. We have an investigation that could happen, but nobody's doing anything about it. Oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about the Epstein files. Here's UFO disclosure. Here's war in Iran. Don't worry. How quickly people have stopped sifting through the Epstein files. Now, I'm a person that believes that you can hold multiple thoughts at the same time, at least the smart people out there that can investigate the Epstein files, look into disclosure, and still be against the war in Iran. We saw Rex Jones passionately give a speech talking about how dumb people are, but it's because they don't have a thought in their brain. You've been programmed from the minute you were born to suck down chicken McNuggets into your gut, and every time you see a pair of golden arches and you're hungry, you want to pull over and get some dirty, greasy food to throw down into your system and let the system kill you while Big Pharma makes money off of the cardiac solution for you. If that's the snake in the grass, it's the big money, it's the multinational corporatists, it's the people listed in the Epstein file. Isn't it interesting that the Bilderberg Group was pulled forward so quickly, and right around that time, Donald Trump switched, and all of a sudden it's like he took a knee to the New World Order, that he now serves the New World Order, and he no longer serves what many people believe to be Jesus Christ. But I believe in redemption. I know Mark Lynch, who's supposed to be joining us as well, believes in redemption. People can change, and I got to believe people can change, because if I can't believe that Donald Trump could switch or change or come back to reality and be a president for the people once again, Well, then I can't believe that I can change. And I got to believe that. And we got to pray for our president. We have to spend time in prayer. Not just for our president, but our daily lives. We have to work on a local level. We need to get involved. We need to run for election in all these different areas, whether it's school board, whether it's Senate, whether it's Congress, whether it's state assembly, whatever it is, get involved. Because it's the future of your children that you are selling away by not being educated. And I can't believe how dumb the public has gotten. Saturated with Hollywood propaganda, saturated with fake news network propaganda, and the people that were spitting the truth to y'all, you've been told to hate. Who are the new enemies of the state? Oh, the Tulsi Gabbards and the Joe Kents. They're the bad ones, the Ron Pauls of the world, the Rand Pauls, the Thomas Massey, the same people that probably identify as constitutional conservatives, the ones that stand for the very fabric and the cornerstone of what this nation is built on. And they're asking you to turn your back on it because of Trump. Your loyalty is to the Constitution, not to a damn president or puppet in the government. Because that's exactly what he's turning out to be. Oh, they love me in Israel. 99% approval rate. Well, I'm sitting at home with a 33% approval rate, potentially the worst approval rate in presidential history. All because you got a bunch of dumb slop that believes everything you say. Now, I'm not trying to say that everything our president has done is wrong. I'm not saying don't pray for the president. I'm saying that we need to bring awareness to this, to it, about this to him. We need to bring awareness about AI data centers. We need to bring awareness about these candidates that are out there that are spreading the message of liberty and freedom. Like Mark Lynch. I want to go ahead and play this video. This is video two. This is Donald Trump talking about Lindsey Graham. Go ahead and roll this video.
I think Lindsey Graham is a disgrace, and I think you have one of the worst representatives of any representative in the United States. The guy is a nut job. I don't want his endorsement. I don't want anything to do with him. I don't think he could run for dog catcher in this state and win again. This guy, Lindsey Graham, you have a guy, he's one of the dumbest human beings I've ever seen. In my opinion, I think he's disgraced. I don't want anything to do with him. You have one of the worst representatives of any representative in the United States.
Paid for and authorized by Lynch for Senate.
Now, when you think about this, and you look at this and what's going on, you now have Donald Trump endorsing Lindsey Graham. How did that happen? The guy's a nut job. He can't win re-election. But here he is. Now, if you take a look on his, you know, good old Truth Social, he's got a post endorsing Lindsey Graham. The swamp. The never Trumper. Isn't that just wild? Yeah, there it is, right there on the screen. Senator Lindsey Graham is doing a fantastic job. He is running against a lunatic named Mark Lynch, who supports perhaps the worst congressman in the history of the country, Thomas Massey, and the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. I don't have to go into great detail, but needless to say, Mark Lynch would be a disaster for the Republican Party, and Lindsey Graham just gets the job done. Vote for Lindsey, all way, MAGA. President Donald Trump. Oh, look at that. Flip-flopping. Didn't he just say that Lindsey Graham is a nut job? That's what he was saying. Oh, but now, you know, for Trumpers, yep, we're going to go ahead and call them the new MAGA. And why is this? Is this because Donald Trump's ego is hurt? Is his ego hurt? Because people started calling him out about the Epstein files and all the flip-flopping that he's been doing, whether it's the war in Iran, the Epstein files, amongst other things. Whatever happened to the wall? Is the wall done? What about Hillary for prison? What happened there? Did Hillary go to prison? But yet you have this whole army of ditwits that don't have an ounce of intelligence between them. And if you want to know why our country is in this scenario, and you want to know why we're in this situation, I want you to get up, go out and look in the mirror. That's right. Look in the mirror, because it's you and I that can implement change. It's you or I that can make a difference. And if you're not willing to make a difference, you're not willing to invest in broadcasts like the Alex Jones Network. If you're not willing to share the live links or get in the comments, if you're not willing to talk to your neighbor or go run for office or support somebody and get involved, you're the reason why we're looking at our nation as it is. With Donald Trump flip-flopping, no one to hold him accountable. And when somebody tries to hold him accountable, will they get him out of there? Why? Well, obviously, follow the money. Where's the money coming from? Well, it's coming from AIPAC and other individuals, some of which are on the Epstein list. Flight logs. That's who you're up against, is the Epstein class. At the end of the day, it's the Jeffrey Epstein class. And we got to do something about it. We got to hold them accountable. Now, are we going to be able to with Kash Patel holding his position? I'm not quite sure. But the awareness needs to be there. We need more transparency, and it starts with you guys at home. Now we're looking at a government that wants to put these AI data centers. You can't turn on the radio or TV here in the state of Wisconsin without hearing an AI data center commercial. Oh, it's going to create jobs. Yeah, okay, you get paid to enslave yourself. Because you keep voting for a bunch of buffoons. Vote for the same people that got you the COVID legislation, Donald Trump. Vote for the same people that got you the jab and brought you the jab, Donald Trump. And it was suspicious back then. But, you know, we let it slide because the majority of the things that he was saying and doing were, for the most part, good. And now he has no more terms coming up, and he's doing whatever the hell he wants, whether it benefits you or not. You know what benefits? It benefits the multinational corporatists. It benefits the lobbyists. It benefits the warmongers, the big banks, and it doesn't benefit the American people. He doesn't care about you. Do you think Donald Trump is worried about inflation and how much it costs for you to put a steak on the table? Bill Gates wants you to eat his fake steak. Maybe that will be cheaper. Can barely afford milk, gas, eggs, steak. And what are we going to do about it? Joining us is Mark Lynch. Mark Lynch is running for Senate in South Carolina against Lindsey Graham. Mark Lynch is a very interesting individual. He's built a very successful family business and spent decades helping men overcome addiction through faith-filled recovery programs, amongst other things. Welcome to the broadcast, Mark Lynch. How are you doing today, sir? Thank you for joining us.
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So tell us, why is it that you're running for the Senate in South Carolina against Lindsey Graham out of all people?
Yeah, well, I was asked to run because of people that know me and know my work in the national security space with a lot of good people. One of them, General Mike Flynn, who endorsed me. And we've got to make a change. We've got a guy that's voting worse than most Democrats. His lifetime record conservative score is 43%, failing. His constitutional voting record score lifetime is 57%, failing. And he's doing everything opposite of what I would do and what anybody would do that loves this country or loves South Carolina. So we've got to have somebody that's a God-fearing patriot, a true conservative like myself, that'll get in and give our state people the true representation they deserve in Congress.
Mark, what do you think it is that's going on in Donald Trump's head right now that he's completely flip-flopped in the last 4 months? He's come out and endorsed Lindsey Graham, which is the swamp, which is the Never Trump movement. It seems like the Never Trump movement is now the MAGA movement, and I can't understand it. But what are your thoughts on why things are happening the way they are right now in our political atmosphere?
Yeah. South Carolinians have asked us that. You know, we've been on the road since February of 25 when we launched this campaign to take Lindsey Graham out. And we're all scratching our heads. Why would Trump endorse Lindsey Graham after he stabs him in the back countless times? He's not loyal to Trump. You know, he told everybody on a CNN interview, you know how you make America great again? Tell Donald Trump to go to hell. So it's crazy. But all we can figure is that Trump needs him in a lean Senate majority. And so his endorsement will help guarantee that Lindsey votes alongside Trump and helped him to get the big, beautiful bill across the finish line and other things. And so that's all we can figure out is Trump's just using him one more time.
What are some of the big policies that you're running on that are really important to you that separate you from Lindsey Graham?
Well, one of the biggest is I'm a 100% pro-life candidate. I believe life begins at conception. You know, our forefathers, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they realized we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And the first right is the right to life. Lindsey Graham is for murdering children in the womb up to 15 weeks. And he voted on a bill that put all of our taxpayer dollars into bondage with Satan and a blood pact that paid Obamacare and Medicaid through Planned Parenthood to fund an abortion up until the moment before delivery in 9 states. And that's just wicked evil. We've killed over 64 million of our own children in this country. So God's hands are off until we stop that, repent, and turn away from that and ask for forgiveness for the murder of the children that we've killed in this country. So that's a big one. You know, I can't believe we can't get the SAVE Act passed. Lindsey's not using his senatorial power. You know, we own the White House, we own the House, and we own the Senate. But we can't get a bill passed to ensure we have identification of who the voters are and that they're citizens in this country. If I'm the U.S. Senator, I'll form a committee and we'll create a motion to vacate John Thune and we'll remove him and start doing business again as normal. We can't allow the blocking of common sense bills that we need to ensure we have election integrity in this country.
That seems to be a big concern amongst the American public, especially after the 2020 election is election integrity, amongst other things. And it's just wild to me. It seems like the president has lost his mind because he was trying to pin the same stuff on Thomas Massie, saying, well, he didn't want the wall. He voted against the wall. He wants, he wants illegals here. And none of that could be further from the truth. And they were really using that as where then they're promoting individuals that are actually preventing any kind of solutions to the immigration issues that we're having, including the voting issues and election fraud, amongst other things. And here you have a candidate such as yourself that's really trying to implement change. It sounds like you're a constitutional person that wants to support the general return to a republic. And you got the president out there vouching for a war hawk that's going to cost your children's lives, potentially. He wants this war in Iran. He's always wanted wars. And there wasn't a war that Lindsey Graham didn't want.
Right. That's everybody in South Carolina knows that that's his nickname, warmonger. And, you know, he was with the Gang of Eight, granting amnesty to all these illegals. He recently sponsored the Afghan Adjustment Act that allowed over 180,000 Afghan refugees into this country. And we've paid a price so far because one of the refugees drove from Washington State to Washington, D.C. and shot two of our National Guardsmen. One we all recall is Sarah Beckstrom. She was murdered in that shooting. She was shot in the head and killed. And so these votes, these bills Lindsey comes up with are very dangerous to American citizens and our military. And he's just doing everything like enemies of this country would. You know,
I can't hear you guys.
Can you hear me? He can't hear me.
Yeah, I got you. All right. I got you. I apologize. For some reason, my sound dropped out there for a moment. I apologize. You know, it's interesting to see the changes that we can really implement. And it's impressive that somebody has the guts to face Lindsey Graham, because he's been there, it seems like, forever. But as Rex Jones was giving his presentation, I think it's time we get a lot of these, like, old-school boomers that don't understand what the people want out. Like, they generally don't speak for the majority of Americans. A lot of people work, and a lot of them couldn't vote in the Kentucky primary for Thomas Massey, you know. And, you know, we look at this, and we need people out there that understand we need to do something about our borders. Like, we're worried about Iran getting nuclear weapons when we have wide open borders, per se, and terrorists can walk right across the border at the end of the day. What are we doing to solve this problem? And you're there wanting to offer a solution. And you have Lindsey Graham that seems to be kind of the antagonist in this whole situation.
Yep. You know, it's, a lot of people are asking, why is he trying to start World War III when we have terrorist cells right here in America, and he's left America, and he's not focused on South Carolina, and people are tired of it. It's a national security threat having Lindsey Graham in office any longer, and it needs to happen this June 9th. We have a great opportunity to replace him, and I need the people's help out there. You know, he's attacking me and making up lies left and right and spending millions of dollars on TV and social media and direct mail pieces trying to keep me from getting in. Why? Because a lot of money, a lot of corruption is going to come to an end when he's removed. That's why. So they're fighting with everything they have, and that's okay. And most people read between the lines. And I want to thank Lindsey Graham for spending all this money helping my name ID grow across the state. Thank you so much, because it's not working for you. It's working for me. God will use what you meant for evil and turn it into our good and his glory. And that's what we're witnessing right now in this campaign.
Mark, thanks for joining us. Let our listeners know when your primary is and when they can go vote for you, where they can find out more about you.
Yes, it's June 9th, and they can go to lynchforsenate.com. That's Lynch, F-O-R, Senate.com. And how do we win this? We win it on our knees in prayer. We win it by taking our cell phones out and calling all of our family and friends and people we work with and spreading the news to vote for Mark Lynch, to bring a true fighter, a true conservative. And I'm an ordained deacon in our church, and you have to have certain godly characteristics with your character to be an ordained deacon. And I'll bring those skills and that understanding to the U.S. Senate and hold the line. I won't take money from AIPAC. I work for America, and you have my commitment in that.
Mark Lynch, thank you for joining us on the War Room. We appreciate you, and everyone should go out there and check out the website and invest. You can donate to Mark Lynch right on his website. We'll see you guys when we come back from the break. We have Tammy Clark joining us around the bend.
Thank you much.
BOGO Supps, buy one, get one free supplements right now, has been extended. The Memorial Day sale was just that popular. We wanted to give y'all another day to take advantage of the buy one, get one sale on T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture, as well as the Ultra Methylene Blue Tincture. T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture is built to support thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. It's one of the life-changing products. You know, well, really a lot of, really all of our products are life-changing, but iodine and the methylene blue are the two that for years we've had people call in and say, I have no idea how I survived without this. It's changed my life. And the thing is that you might not even know what an effect a lack of iodine is having on your body. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to make medical claims here, but I do know from personal experience and, you know, friends of mine start taking iodine and they're like, it's amazing. I sleep an hour less a night. Like, I just have more energy. I just need an hour less of sleep. Now, again, I don't know what the effect is going to be on you, but you aren't going to know until you try it. Maybe you're going around just thinking that, well, you're just getting older and the brain fog is setting in. It's just a matter of age and nothing you can do about it. Well, have you tried to do something about it? Have you tried to fight back against age and the poisons in our food and water? Because you're not going to know how effective and powerful this stuff is until you try it. You may very well realize that you're not supposed to be, you're not just supposed to be in pain all the time. You're not supposed to just have brain fog all the time. That's a problem that you can solve. and we help you solve it by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Join the VIP club. Get massive discounts across the board. T3 trifecta iodine and ultramethylene blue tincture on sale right now for buy one, get one. Whatever you can do to support us, we absolutely appreciate it. And obviously the easiest and freest way is to share the link, share the content, upload our stuff, download our stuff, do whatever you want with it. But the most helpful way is, of course, to go to thealexjonesstore.com and make a purchase. Help yourself and help us.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The War Room. I'm your host, Chris Don T. Harris. And if you haven't had a chance to yet, head on down to the AlexJonesStore.com and pick up some methylene blue. They have a buy one, get one offer right there. That's the best deal you can get out of anywhere on the internet. And you can support this broadcast. You can impact the world around you. And you can help grow this operation. As you know, they're trying to go almost 24 hours here at the Alex Jones Network. And boy, wouldn't that be great to get information to feed your brain for 24 hours. So our guest that will be joining us on this hour is Tammy Clark. We're going to be diving in, and she'll be joining us after this break in this real quick short first segment. We're going to dive into AI centers. And it's interesting because AI centers seem to be popping up all over the Midwest. We have lots of lakes in Wisconsin. We have some of the most, we have the most lakes probably out of any state in the United States. And they want to put AI centers here. They want to put them in Michigan. They want to put them anywhere there's a lot of water because the water is needed to cool these supercomputers that are going to be used for these super AI complexes. And it's not just AI to gather data. Right? It's AI to control things, AI to create video, AI to create audio, AI assistance, right? And we're getting into a futuristic realm where we're going to have AI robots. So they need to build the infrastructure to have the robots in the home. And how is that going to look when we're going to have all this data going through our interwebs? Just think about it. It's just crazy to me. The idea of like climate change has kind of disappeared. Like nobody's really talking about it, you know, because these AI data centers, if you truly believe the climate change narrative, which I, of course, don't, you know, if you study the history of Maurice Strong and global warming and all the trash that they try to spin. And now look at what we got. We got AI data centers and nobody seems to have a problem with climate change. Oh, we'll just build the AI data centers, which would pollute much worse than probably most humans would. While these elites were flying around in their jets trying to sell you carbon credits to make money off of you, to guilt you to not eat meat. They want you to bake the cow's farts. They want you to, you know, worry about the water rising and then your home getting swallowed up if you have beachfront property. While they live on beachfront property. But no worries. The AI data centers are completely fine. They're okay, and we shouldn't worry about them. We need these. They're going to create jobs, they say. But what kind of jobs and for how long? Because how long will it be till the AI data center is running the robots that take over all of your jobs? We need to think about this. We need to stop and think about the implications of these AI data centers. Not only that, we should talk about how much your electric bill is probably going to skyrocket. Because you know it's going to. There's no way that your bill isn't going to skyrocket as they build these mega, like, data centers. And there's going to be people working at them for a short time so the robots can replace the human jobs. They've already been, like, not only that, these robots are getting human-looking. They're working on biohybrid robotics. And if you don't know what biohybrid robotics is, that is synthetic biology living on robotic parts. So they look like the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2, where he looks human until he cuts his skin open, and then you find out that there's a robot underneath. That's what biohybrid robotics is, and they're ready talking about. They unveiled it in recent tech conferences. It's viral on TikTok and on social media. They're showing you and they're programming you of what's coming down across the border. And when we come back from our break, Tammy Clark is going to break down the concerns over the AI debacle. We even got our local comedian, Charlie Behrens. We got a video we'll play of his as well, discussing what is really the impact of these AI data centers and why is it that we should be worried about them? Because everybody out there should be concerned. We'll be joined by Tammy Clark when we come back from this break. I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris, filling in for Harrison Smith.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster, and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it and get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
I saw the videos Ansley Brown, a young woman from Georgia, was posting to social media. I mean, it just broke my heart. Ansley, she's on a crusade to stop a massive data center, a project that is springing up in her community and communities across the country from buying and then demolishing their homes, literally just tearing down their homes, and they have no choice. In Ansley's case, it's her childhood home her mother purchased back in 2003, and also her neighbor's houses. And this is allowed because of eminent domain, which allows the government to seize private property with compensation for the public good. And in cases like hers, power companies want to use the land their home is on for power lines to support a new data center. Here is a look at a little bit of what she posted. Look at this.
Look at how close this is gonna run to her house, y'all. Her garden, her chickens, everything is going to be affected by this.
She has beautiful, beautiful animals at this property that Georgia Power is threatening to take from her. As you can see here, these little guys are who Georgia Power is threatening.
Cow pasture. They want a quarter of her cow pasture. It appears to me that Coweta County and Georgia Power think that American farmers aren't important. Georgia Power, you have enough. You don't need to take any more. Build where you already have. I'm out here on the power lines. Guess what I found? Georgia Power out here tearing down a house. This what used to be here was an entire home. This is the exact same project that is taking from my mom. These poor people, Georgia Power already got them. I'm not going to let them get my mom too.
All right, so they're not just taking people's lands. They're literally tearing down their houses, and they have no say in any of it. Ansley Brown joins me live now. Ansley, it's nice to meet you. I started watching your videos on X over the weekend, and I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, how could this really be happening to this many people? The woman, I saw the one you were in her backyard. They were taking her swimming pool away. Other people are taking their homes. Have you heard anything new from Georgia Power? Any reaction to your videos?
The biggest reaction to my videos from Georgia Power is that they are now saying that they have offered us 125% over market value. That is true. However, that is tied up in a 1099-S check. So that is not something that we can just roll over into a new home purchase without being penalized.
And how does it work? I mean, do they just show up, like with your mom, do they just show up to the door and say, you got to be out by this date, start packing?
Pretty much. They start slow. So it starts with land surveys, public meetings, whispers of what may or may not happen. And then it turns into, we're interested in your property. We want the entire thing. And this is what we're prepared to offer you. If you don't want to accept it, we can take you for condemnation.
How many people is this impacting?
This is impacting 330 property owners, 21 homes being completely demolished. But that number does not include the neighbors. Everybody that has to look at this project, the entire subdivisions that will be affected by this project.
Yeah, I saw in one of your videos, they don't have to tear down the home, but this woman, like the power lines are going to be like 12 feet from her bedroom window.
Yes. And just to give you an idea of what that means while she is asleep at night in her bed, Georgia Power can pull a truck up 12 feet from her window and do whatever they want because they own the property.
So is the data center going to be close or is this just to get the power to the data center? Explain that part.
So this would be to provide power all the way to a data center that is not in the same county as my mom's house. However, there are three other data centers that have already been approved by our county commissioners that will be flush with the Project Wansley transmission lines.
What do you say? I mean, some people have fired back and said, oh, this is for the greater good. AI is the future. Stinks for these people. But, you know, somebody's going to have to give up something. They got to get the power lines through.
I recommend that you should offer up your own property, offer up your own home. If you believe that data centers and AI are the change, then why don't you be the change and let them take what you own?
Yeah, you're so badass, Ansley. When I saw your videos, I mean, you know, you didn't have much of a following, I don't think. You started posting I watched your numbers tick up over the weekend, and now you've got people talking about it all over the country and all over the world. And it kills me to see these beautiful houses out in the country that they think they can just bulldoze right over, and that people, you know, even if you get 125%, people don't want to sell. It's your house. And I totally get it. So, Ansley, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
And if you don't want an AI data center, they're going to come. They're just going to bully themselves, and you're going to have to move. We're just going to put the AI data centers wherever you want. Joining us is government whistleblower Tammy Clark. Welcome to the broadcast. AI data centers, man, they're popping up all over the place. They want to put them in Wisconsin. They want to put them in Michigan. What's going on with the AI data centers? What are some of the big concerns that we're hearing on the ground?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you again. There are a lot of concerns all over the country with this mass hyperscale data center invasion that seems to be happening simultaneously in pretty much every county in every state across the country. And it's being done under the guise of winning the AI race, beating China. So there's a lot going on to this, and I think there are a lot of things people need to understand. First of all, this is not being driven by an organic need for computational outputs. This is being driven by something much more nefarious. And I stood up and became a government whistleblower as an occupational and environmental health and safety professional who was very concerned about how the government handled COVID very inappropriately and irresponsibly. And so I got pulled back into this fight when I saw what was happening and recognized for my profession the very serious negative human and environmental impacts that are being created by these hyperscale centers that people, you know, are saying these billion-dollar companies are saying, oh, it's fine. We don't consume that much water. We're not going to drive up your electrical costs. But I'm saying there are a whole lot of other things going on here that people need to be concerned about. And they are flat out lying to you. They are gaslighting people like me who stand up and blow the whistle on this. Like your last episode, we saw Ainsley. You know, we're being told basically that we're anti-capitalist or anti-American. If you listen to Kevin O'Leary, he basically calls us agents of China for saying what we're saying. So now I'm standing taller and speaking even louder because I'm very much a proud American, a business owner, very much a proponent of capitalism. So to accuse people like me and Ainsley, who are blowing the whistle on something very serious, is just downright ridiculous and shocking.
Well, if there's one thing we've learned about the government, when they say Don't worry, the smart meters won't spy on you. Don't worry, the smart meters won't raise your electric bill. Never mind, there's no radiation in the smart meters. We know that the government is usually lying, right? And at the end of the day, they're using thought-terminating cliches now. They just don't want people to think for themselves, because if somebody uses the term anti, it prevents them from acknowledging their own logical fallacies or cognitive dissonance. Oh, you must be anti-capitalism. Oh, then that must mean you're an anti-fascist, or you're a communist, or a socialist. And of course, we got to get along to get, you know, we have to get along in order to get these AI data centers. So I got to ask, it sounds weaponized. How much of this do you think is because of military, practical military uses? Because they have a lot invested in AI. When I think of the war on AI and we got to win the war, well, what is the war? Why do we have to worry about China unless they're going to use it against us? And how can AI be used in ways in and what kind of military applications can AI be used for? Because we're seeing AI robots, we're seeing AI drones, we're seeing AI surveillance. So they need these data centers. And how much of this do you believe is military?
Well, I think you're exactly right. And the military-industrial complex is very much behind this, I have no doubt. When you look at China, if you stop and think about how China controls their people, right? They have more people than we do. They are very, very tyrannical. Obviously, they're communists. They're known enemies of the United States. The way they treat their people, surveil their people. And you realize they only have about 350 data centers, entire nation. And what we're looking at right now is the introduction of thousands and thousands of them. And we're not talking small data centers that power or support a hospital system, something like that, that we've had around for about 20 years. I'm not talking about these small standalone systems. I'm talking about these massive hyperscale centers that will take up to 40,000 acres in some cases and use more water and electricity than at the entire city of Detroit. It's ridiculous. So when you look at it and you realize we don't need this to power the AI needs that we have, when you ask ChatGPT something, for example, that's not what's going on here, because we don't need that for what we're doing and what we're dealing with on a daily basis. So when I took a good hard look at this, I thought, you know, and I talked to my colleague, Kristen Megan Kelly, who, you know, we've talked about some of this, and there's just got to be something more nefarious driving this, because like we said, we don't need this. We don't need this to win the AI race. It's what they're trying to do in alignment with the utility companies and the government right now makes absolutely zero sense. But what they're telling us is something very different. And then if we don't go along with it, we're anti-American, we're anti-progress. And Kristen and I have said from the very beginning, when we started speaking up about this and blowing the whistle on the very serious dangers to both humans and plants and animals, we said there's something going on here that we're not being told, because we're now being called traitors, anti-American, agents of China. Like, what in the world is happening here? There's got to be something more going on than what we're being told.
Well, you know, I start to get into this Black Mirror type world where I start to think about digital twins and how now, you know, if you don't want William Shatner's digital twin to live forever, well, you're a technophobe and you're pro-China, because that's what I'm hearing from you. And when you think about the eugenicists and yes, the end game of longevity, and that they want you to download your consciousness into a computer per se, and they want to be able to do all that, well, you're going to need the data centers. You're going to need the information to download it. And what a great way to spread eugenics, letting people know that they can only live for 30 years. And then at 30, they can download their consciousness in the computer, and the evil people can live forever in their meat suit. That's the Black Mirror world. That's where I see things potentially going, because they have open dialogue about digital twins. I mean, I saw on Instagram Jenna Jameson's feed. She's like, I got a digital twin now. I don't know what people want to do with that digital twin. I don't care. I'm just letting you know that they're making them. You know, William Shatner went in and got his whole likeness cloned, and he downloaded himself potentially into a computer for digital twins. So there's a lot of practical uses, maybe digital twin doctors. The medical industry also has admitted that they want to get digital twins of every human, because then they can get 3D holographic x-rays of their body for health concerns. Because, of course, that's how they're going to get you into the system at the end of the day. I'm just giving you one example of how this could be used. But yeah, they're going to bully themselves. Yeah. They're going to push people off their property, and they're going to go ahead and you're going to have these digital AI centers, whether you like them or not. We're going to just push you out of your homes. It's pretty weird.
It is very weird. And I have no doubt, and this sounds really crazy, but after everything that I've lived through the last 6 years, that we've all lived through the last 6 years and that our eyes were very opened to because of the origins and the intent behind the release of the COVID virus. I now have no doubt that there's something much more nefarious going on here because of the way it's being sold, because of the way, in a very coordinated manner, in a very coordinated effort, almost overnight, within a few months' time, almost every county in every state is dealing with this. Like they rolled out COVID and the entire world fell into lockstep with the same exact compliance measures, protocols. And I thought to myself then, how in the world are they getting every world leader, everybody in the whole world to go along in lockstep so quickly in such a coordinated manner? There's no way this could have just happened, right? And so now I'm looking into this and I have no doubt this is being driven by the transhumanism movement. This is all a huge military industrial complex endeavor and initiative, but we're not allowed to know about it. We're just being told we're not good citizens if we don't embrace technology because America must win this AI race over China. And like I said, China's operating, they're surveilling every single one of their citizens with full, you know, surveillance, a totalitarian regime. And they have about 350 data centers and they're not all hyperscale data centers. We don't need thousands and thousands to do what they're trying to do. Now, I know some of this too is about data collection and surveillance, but it's just all part of the same thing.
Well, not only that, it's social credit scores, the surveillance. Imagine having no privacy. I remember, what was it, the Batman with Heath Ledger, where Batman goes down in his bat cave and you're like, oh, that's cool. And then he's like looking up where the Joker is and he tells him, the surveillance system tells him it's on a 23rd floor of an abandoned building. And so that's where the end scene fight is. And then you got, The Rock in movies talking about the Eye of God technology and how they can locate people anywhere they are at, every conversation they have. We're going to have no sense of privacy. The government's going to have all the metadata, which then they're going to be able to randomly enforce. If you speak out and you're a pro-constitution, well, goodbye. We're going to have schmack on you, Thomas Massie. That one thing that you might have texted, one thing you might have said, we're going to live in a very transactional society where we're not going to be able to be human beings, but we're going to be worried about our social credit scores and every interaction being a transaction, no matter if we go to Walmart and bitch at the manager about a bad product that we got. Oh, then our social credit score might go down. Maybe you didn't pay your taxes on time. Maybe your friend thinks that COVID was a psyop. Maybe Event 201 was a psyop. Maybe you think those things. Maybe you weren't pro-vaccine and you're not getting your jab. Your social credit score will drop. They need to collect all the metadata. And you're right. It is a very transhumanist agenda. That's what people are very nearsighted about. They don't realize it's already here. They're already doing life extension trials on human beings. If you don't believe it, they've been able to extend rats, fix blind rats' eyes and regenerate the youth in their eyes by 75%. And also in monkeys, they've done this. And now they're moving to humans. It's like $3.5 million to sign up, and you can live forever in your meat suit. But we need the major data centers so we can practice eugenics and get the dumb youth that we educate to, you know, check out early and live forever in their uploaded environment in the digital reality. Because that's really what they want at the end of the day. And I know it sounds obscene, but I want to talk about a more practical use of these things. The data center, Samsung has admitted they want to generate an entire digital clone of our planet. Do you know why they would want to do something like that, Tammy?
This is the first I've heard Samsung say that. I've heard a lot of crazy things, but I've not heard that one before.
Well, the idea is if you can get a digital clone and then you can run it as a simulation in real time with all the surveillance software that you collect, you can go ahead and put in any algorithm. Maybe you want to test to see if a war in Iran works. You can see the chess pieces and how they lay out, and you can have AI figure out how to do the job for you before it does it. And maybe you can see how to control society. But you could have a virtual world where you'll put on virtual goggles that'll look exactly like our world, that maybe in the future when you put that chip in your brain, they'll just beam you into the fake reality. That's what they're talking about.
And this is really crazy to me because you and I met, I don't know, what was it, 5 years ago during the COVID fight. And you remember some of the things I was saying back then, like I had no idea when I stood up and I blew the whistle on the government, what was really going on. I mean, my eyes were really open to it once I got inside as a government whistleblower. And I feel like the same thing is happening right now because I got pulled into this data center fight along with Kristen just because of our professions as industrial hygienists. It's our job to recognize, anticipate, evaluate, and control hazards, health hazards to human beings, hazards to the environment. It's a public health profession, right? So we got pulled into this and started speaking on the facts about human and environmental health associated and caused by, created by these things. And all of a sudden, I'm finding myself in the middle of this and really taking a step back as the curtain's been pulled back and realizing this is a very, very nefarious issue happening here. And this is way bigger than COVID ever was. It's all part of it being driven by the same global agenda, but this is really very wicked. What we're talking about here is very real. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a conspiracy reality. It's a conspiracy, all right, against human beings and against the planet for total control. And so we've got to stop this just like we stopped the mandates with COVID, because if we don't, we won't have any choice or any say in any of our lives very soon down the road.
Well, that's the argument, right? Is that if China gets Cyber Satan first, it controls Cyber Satan. So, of course, we can't allow China to have Cyber Satan. It's the same argument that they have for giving cops drones. Well, there's going to be a pirate drone army and the police need to be ready. So we need militarized drones with guns and everything else. And at the end of the day, we need them to protect ourselves from evil pirate drones that people will use to nefariously attack American citizens. And when we take a look at this, when we take a look at which way they're going with the Cyber Satan and the made data collection, well, would you rather our government be the dictator, the digital dictator, or would you like China to be the digital dictator? And at the end of the day, I'm saying no dictatorship. Why can't we use AI for utopian, right? Utopianism.
Yeah.
To find cures for diseases so we can live longer. Not so we can download ourselves into a computer to live longer in a virtual, fake, fictitious world while the elitist bad people, the evil people in the world, live forever in their meat suit because they've learned to regenerate their skin or they've learned how to live right. longer with technology. The idea is that this is the way you get rid of you. This is the way you implement eugenics. And it starts with post-genderism. People want to know why we have such a transgenderism issue, and they want to talk trans children, you know, boys or girls or boys, because the end game is something called post-genderism. And if you don't know what post-genderism is, well, it's a very dystopic ideology. Essentially, it's that, you know, we're going to design babies in a designer baby lab, and we're going to have robots with artificial wombs. And you're already seeing them roll these things out. It's crazy. We can get an artificial womb in a robot, and you can put your baby in it. And they're going to sell it to the conservatives going, isn't this great? We can get rid of abortion. You can take the baby out and put it in this robot, and we can bring it, and then we can set it up for adoption. Look, the Christians win it. It's a great idea. But at the same time, what they're really doing is dehumanizing people, because in the future, maybe somebody's going to want their little elf baby or bat Alphabet baby or lizard baby or who knows what else, you know, that they're going to try to push on us. But they want children to not procreate. They want the government to be in charge of how many children are out there, to have their Brad Pitt designer baby, blueprint baby, things like that. Or the other post-genderism narrative is they'll design babies that don't have any genitalia or reproductive ability at all. And we'll just put on a helmet and it'll stimulate our nervous system to make us feel like we're having intercourse, you know. And at the end of the day, that's where they're going. It's Demolition Man. You know, these AI data centers are monsters. They're pushing them on people, and it's a violation of our liberties and freedoms, especially if we don't want them. They're trying to say, well, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission, and that's what we're seeing. The government is muscling their way into our lives. Now, let's talk about the solution when we come back from break, because we've seen the government lay off of things when Americans push back. In fact, the whole militia movement has been under attack ever since the Bundy Ranch scenario. They've been infiltrated every way possible because the government wants to destroy it, because it was the one thing that prevented the government from doing anything. It was the American public standing up against our government trying to encroach on our liberties and freedoms. That being said, we'll be back with Tammy Clark when we come back from break. Make sure you guys check out the Alex Jones store. Support us. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't need, you know, I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, no, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? You're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body. But that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes up. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or, you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you've got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The War Room. I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris, and our guest today is Tammy Clark. And before we get back into things with Tammy, I wanted to talk and air this little video of Charlie Behrens talking about data centers in Wisconsin. He's a comedian, local guy. He's got that weird Wisconsin accent like I got, so it's kind of funny. But if we could go ahead and play the next clip here, that would be the Charlie Behrens video. That would be video number 4. For the second hour here, I want you guys to hear and listen to some of the concerns that he has about AI data centers.
Wisconsin lawmakers put forward bill to regulate AI data centers. And this?
Is this it?
What in the?
Got bigger bills at the bar.
I mean, for crepe sakes, you guys, there's more regulation on the cheese curd. What in the hell is going on here?
Maybe I'm rushing to judgment. Let's go ahead and see what this bill says.
Huh. Okay. And this bill's got the balls of a steer.
Yup. I am talking castration.
I'm at least hoping the lawmakers donated this bill's Rocky Mountain oysters to the O'Connell County Testicle Festival.
It's a sack-slapping good time.
Sorry. Microsoft's president says he applauds the bill, because I'm guessing he wrote it. Here's the biggest issue, folks. This bill does not protect us from paying higher power bills because of the AI data center. My energy bill's already so far up my butt my eyes are paying rent. I mean, for crepe's sakes, you guys, I'm wearing two flannels underneath this duck jacket as it is. Now, the bill tries to say it'll protect ratepayers from the data center increases, but it's so vague it's basically just protecting the power companies from accountability. Bottom line here, folks, AI data centers will still be able to send your power bills higher than Uncle Frank grocery shopping in Illinois. The bill also says all renewable energy's gotta be produced on site for the data center. Now that may sound good, but it's not practical, so it means the utilities are just gonna give the big tech companies coal and gas, and we're all gonna get asthma and heart attacks. I know some of you are thinking, this guy's just a NIMBY, not my backyard. And while I do got a good crop of rhubarb back there, I'm not a NIMBY. I'm a NIMDI. Not my dumbass idea. None of us asked big tech to steal so much of our data that now they gotta store it in these massive power-sucking shitboxes. I mean, they got our data. We're already the product. Now they want us to pay more with our land and our water and our tax breaks?
I mean, for Christ's sakes, that's like asking the lobsters at Red Lobster to pay rent.
The big question here is, how far is AI gonna take it with these data centers? Let's ask OpenAI's Sam Altman.
Like, I do guess that a lot of the world gets covered in data centers over time.
And that's a world that makes me want to go extinct, which is why we got a fight here, folks. Big tech's just gonna keep following the money right off a cliff. And unless lawmakers put up guardrails, we're all going with them. Speaking of guardrails, here's a couple ideas. Big tech pays for all their crap. No more tax breaks. Why are we paying for billionaires to become trillionaires? No more NDAs. You want to say something you don't want no one else to hear? We'll save it for confession. Father Tom holds it every Thursday at Walski. No more tids for these AI data centers. Port Washington officials got rolled like a doobie, and now the people got to pay the price. Hold big tech companies liable for their models. If their AI kills someone, they got to pay the piper. Water limits with consequences. For every gallon over the allotted water limit, every Wisconsinite gets to kick that CEO in the pecker. Okay, maybe I got a little too excited there. Let's keep her moving. Bottom line here, folks, how are we supposed to trust big tech with the most powerful technology in the world? We can't even trust them to not screw over the most vulnerable communities in our country. I mean, you tech giants are lucky you didn't go to St. Sebastian's, because Sister Trish, she would have backhanded every single one of you. All right, Wisconsin, call your assembly member and tell them Assembly Bill 840, that's a no. Goal. Sorry if I came off a little strong there. It's been a rough week. Speaking of which, as always, go Packers. The Bears.
That was Charlie Behrens talking and diving into essentially what we've been talking about with the AI data centers. Tammy Clark is joining us to discuss and break down the AI data center concerns. Tammy, thank you for joining us again. And it's really concerning the way they're going with these data centers and the way that they're really trying to shove them down people's throats when they don't want them. I've seen that there's been whole city councils that have been got voted out who wanted these data centers in, and they've all been replaced. What are your thoughts on the way things are going, and what are you seeing on the ground down by you in Michigan?
Yeah, well, it has been quite crazy because they are really coming after Michigan and the Great Lakes states that border Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. They're just really, really salivating to get these data centers built as quickly as possible before the people can stop it, because they want access to our water. Now, here's the thing. Alternative systems do exist. They're doing it in Europe. There are many alternative cooling systems that do exist that do not need to use our water and have access to our water. And I feel very strongly about requiring systems. In fact, Kristen and I are working on a checklist of requirements for board members, whether they're a city, council, township, county, whatever planning, zoning committees you might be sitting on. And you have been approached by data centers, and this has been going on for a couple of years now, like you said, in backroom deals and NDAs, because these people are definitely, on the take here. We've seen that. Kristen and I have been part of some recalls, and we've seen entire boards get replaced and have been actually called for that up in Big Rapids, Michigan. If you remember, we were dealing with the Chinese battery plant, Goshen, And I said from stage, every one of these people who has sold their farms for millions of dollars on NDAs to China is guilty of treason, and they all need to be recalled. And they all were. So, you know, I have seen this happening. There are alternative systems. There are alternative solutions. We've been putting forth solutions. But we just need to educate people real fast, and we need to put the fear of the people in these elected representatives, whether they're on a county commission, state legislature, planning, local planning, or zoning boards. They need to understand they're sitting in the people's seat. It's not their own seat they're sitting in. They don't have the right to speak and act in a self-serving manner because they were elected by their constituents to represent them. And when 90% of the community shows up angry, very vocal, packing churches, packing high school auditoriums, they're having to move these, you know, regular meetings, monthly meetings to these massive facilities because half the town or three quarters of the town shows up demanding that they listen to them and not put these things in the community. And yet, like what happened in Utah with Kevin O'Leary's center, three people decide we're going to do this. And Kevin O'Leary has the nerve to say on the Tucker Carlson interview, oh, well, it doesn't matter because the county voted. And Tucker said three people voted. And you know what his answer was? Well, they were elected representatives, so they're representing the people. Yeah, how hard is it to buy off and pay off a few board members who are getting millions of dollars and lots of promises? Trust me, that's why they're working on NDAs. And so we need to put the fear of the people back in the government representatives. Because remember, what did Thomas Jefferson say? When the government fears the people, there's liberty. Right. But when the people fear the government, that's tyranny. So we have to just remember to use our voice while we still can. We did it with COVID. We stopped it with COVID, and we can do it again. But people really need to be engaged, and they need to refuse to sit down and shut up. And if your elected representatives are not going to listen to you, you need to initiate a referendum and recalls. And if they're happening all over the country, Kristen and I are very happy to be leading the charge on that, to remember to inspire the people, to activate the people, because who's the government in the United States? We, the people, not global tech giants and billionaires. But we need to remind them of this and put them in their place before it's too late.
Well, I think that's what we're looking at here, is that these AI organizations are really trying to go after the small communities, because where are the lakes? The lakes aren't in the middle of the downtown city, right? The lakes are in Wisconsin. They're in these rural areas where they're dying. They're starving for work, especially in an economy that's down. And then they come out and they're like, oh, these are high paying jobs. It's going to create 1800 jobs. It'll be great for the city. It'll be great for the economy. And then what it's really going to do is kill the infrastructure. The electric rates are going to go sky high. Then it's going to be used to enslave the very American public who claims that they want liberty and freedom while they vote for this. And you're right. A lot of these individuals are getting lobbied by multinational corporatists that say, hey, we're trying to beat China in this AI war. Are you for China or are you for America? Because if you don't want the AI centers, well, we're going to all speak AI centers. We're going to all be speaking Chinese here really soon. You know, they'll put the fear of God in you. But at the end of the day, if we trade our humanity for this automation, what kind of future does that leave for us and our children? And we got to really look at this, because they're going to start to pollute the local area. The electric bills are already sky high. People can barely afford them. Especially in Wisconsin, we have We Electrics. That's it. It's like a monopoly. Like, if you don't like Wisconsin Electric, that's it. They're in bed with the government. You can't even get off the grid. They don't even like the solar panels because they're worried that We Energies isn't going to run the solar panel industry here in Wisconsin. So you got these AI data centers are moving in. They come into the city and they offer people lots of money for their homes. And then what happens if they don't want to sell their home, Tammy?
Well, the problem is that they have been working with utility companies, because eminent domain is not legal. It's not legal to take somebody's, confiscate somebody's property under the name of eminent domain for private purposes. So what they're doing is they're having the utility companies lead the charge, because utility companies are a weird animal, part public, part private for the most part. And so they can say, we need this for the expansion of utilities, for the greater good, for public good. And so if a utility company like Georgia Power comes and says, we absolutely need to take these homes, these farms, any property along this strip where we need to put in a new transmission line or build a new substation, they can get away with that because they're saying it's a public utility use. So it is such a farce. The whole thing is just such a lie. And they're completely lying, bold-faced lying to the people, the commissioners, the legislators, the planning and zoning board members by promising thousands of jobs. I mean, we have a pretty large-scale data center that was built in Grand Rapids, Michigan here, promising thousands of jobs, right? What did it bring? A total of a whopping 49 jobs post-construction.
Woo! Yeah, 49 yeah. jobs! Enslave yeah. us for 49 exactly. jobs.
So what they're doing is not only are they in bed with utility companies and they're putting the utility companies out front and center because then they can get away with this, but they're also working with these economic development corporations. They're regional, sometimes statewide, sometimes local, but pay attention to your economic development companies that are also partnering with commercial and investment real estate firms, large, and they're all in bed together. And so they also will go ahead, and it's the developers and it's the real estate agents who are contacting the farmers. Some of this has been going on for 2 years privately that none of us knew about. So it's kind of this consortium of the developers, the real estate agents, the economic development firms, the utility companies. They've been working on this for years. And when Kristen and I were out in the heartland of America last week, out in Kansas, we really realized this is something that has been in the works for decades. And what we saw with these transmission lines that, you know, when you're standing on that flat land in the heartland, you can see for miles and miles and miles. And what we saw with these transmission lines, like you don't see in a lot of states, they're so massive. And then these really large substations built all along them that expand from their goal is from one coast to another. Right. Well, now they're going through the western states, Colorado. They're heading towards Missouri, Colorado, Montana, Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska. They're just, it's this whole swath. And so when we saw that for ourselves and we realized how coordinated this has already been and how it's already happened, as they race now towards Missouri, we're thinking this has been in the works for decades. There's no way this happened in the last 6 months. But the problem is, like with COVID, once we realized what was happening, we are now in a very reactive position. We are behind the eight ball. They have been doing this behind the scenes, planning this nefarious agenda for a long time. By the time they pull the trigger and release it on the public, it's a little late in the game to be realizing what we're dealing with because we're in such a reactive position. We now have to try to get ahead of this, get on top of this, get ahead of it, stop it, control it, and then get ourselves in a position of control by getting ourselves into a proactive position like we did during COVID. But, you know, I always tell Kristen, and I've told a lot of other people this, you know, they're just like little ants. What happens when you pour water on an anthill? They just scurry over here and they just keep doing this. So even though our testimony in the United States Supreme Court against OSHA with all these COVID mandates, we won that case, thank God, and the mandates, you know, had to go away. They didn't stop. They just go over here and they just start working on this angle. And all of this is part of the same agenda, the Agenda 2030, the UN agenda that's trying to be forced upon us. So even though we're in a reactive position, we're still in a situation in the United States where I do believe we the people can stop this if we get real involved and loud and vocal right now. Because here's one thing these developers don't like, and we've seen this happen. They do not like this negative PR. And we had a Google exec tell the Kansas legislature, when the Kansas legislature said, so you mean to tell me if I don't give you these tax breaks, if we don't pass the tax incentives, we don't give you the corporate subsidies and the corporate welfare, if we don't go along with what you're proposing, you're not going to build here? And the Google executive actually said, no, we'll go somewhere else. That's why Kristen and I are working on a requirements checklist. It's no different than like a real estate requirement checklist. These are the requirements that you need as a board member to demand of any company that is trying to come and set up shop, whether it's a BAS battery storage, whether it's, I don't even care if it's solar panel. That's been another one. They're kind of going along with us, or data centers, anything like that, right? You need to have certain requirements in place as a check the box. And if they look at that and they go down that checklist, they're not going to be able to comply with it because they're not going to be able to meet the health and safety requirements and they're going to go somewhere else. Now, to date, we have helped to stop successfully 50% of all 2026 slated construction projects for data centers. So we are making progress. Even though we're not winning every battle, I think we are winning this war, because it is sending a very clear message that the American people are not having this. And we need to get louder. We need to stand taller, and we need to be even louder. And we need to disrupt this plan by being disruptive.
Tammy, I got to admit, I didn't even think about the UN Agenda 21 implications. I know Rosa Corey published a book called Behind the Green Mask, where it really dove into sustainable development, smart growth, and the shady Delphi meeting tactics, and how they control your local meeting locations, and how they really force their agenda through controlled meetings and mind control. And it's a very interesting book. But to think that the end game of where you're going to have a surveillance smart city or 15-minute city that's going to have AI data centers, right? And they're going to suck up all the energy, all the power. They're going to force their way in there to monitor you. They're going to see when you don't recycle, see when you do recycle. They're going to know how much meat you eat. When you walk into a bar, it's going to know what kind of food you're going to order, or what drink you're going to get. And then here you're going to have this dystopic world where the AI data center is going to power all the robots in all your homes. And I guess that's the big thing. What are the solutions? What are some ways people can get involved? What are some of the things we should be lobbying? What are some of the organizations that are really trying to help fight this, Tammy?
Well, so there are a lot of things that people can do. And I know people feel very overwhelmed and helpless. And the one thing I want to encourage people to do is do not throw your hands up and just say, it's all over, I'm out, there's no point in any of this. That is the absolute worst thing you can do, because it is the loud voices of the American people who are refusing to give into this that are stopping it. So you need to be going to your county commission meetings, your city council meetings, township board planning and zoning meetings, and you need to start listening, paying attention to what they're talking about. And listen, they will have this on their website, so keep an eye on their websites. One of the things that Kristen always says in every meeting and every symposium that we do, and we speak on this to provide solutions, one of the things that she always tells people is you need to go and look who has applied for a diesel air permit, because the county or the city, however that local region is structured, will only allow so many in a certain area for air emissions, for air quality reasons. So the very first thing they'll do when they're looking to come into an area is they will apply for an air diesel generator permit. So go and look on your local websites, your local city, community, county websites, and keep an eye on that. And then you need to be going to the meetings, and you need to be signing up to make public comment. Most of the time you can only give like a 3-minute public comment. But you need to do your research, and you need to let your elected representatives know that sit in your seat and are supposed to be representing you why you do not want a data center near you, why you're not okay with losing your property, with it's not even just the increase in the electricity rates, which is happening. I've seen electricity rates go from $200 a month to $800 a month with some of these areas where these data centers have been built in close proximity. I've seen wells dry up. We've seen people have to deal with the tonal noise issues and the vibration and the frequencies and the light pollution, where they can't even live in their homes anymore, but they can't sell them because the property values have now plummeted. So it's just, you know, it's getting involved and making your voice heard and keeping an eye on it, and then working with others in your community to put your boards on notice. If you do not listen to your constituents and you insist on believing the lies of these global tech companies, that they're going to bring thousands of dollars of tax revenues and they're going to create thousands of jobs, that is such a lie. It's not true. If you are not going to listen to the voice of the people, though, we're going to put you on notice. We're going to run a referendum against you, and you will be recalled. That's how people can get involved. And so we've seen where the people organize and they strategize and they create strong community coalitions. It really does chase them away. They don't want the negative PR, the negative press. They don't want to be where they're not wanted. So what they do is they prey on people that are uneducated, and they look for weak zoning laws where they can ram things through. So you also need to look at your master plan. Look at your master plan for your county, and then look at the actual zoning that you have in place. It does need to align. If it's not aligned, that's where sometimes these county board members get afraid that they're going to be sued. Because we've heard them say to us, you know, we have to allow them. We can't discriminate against them or we'll be sued. Well, that is true to a point. So you need to look at the master plan, the zoning plan, and then look at the zoning that you actually have in place and make sure that they align. And I also tell people you should shrink your industrial zoning footprint so that you don't have enough room to allow one of these massive hyperscale data centers. And, you know, the other thing is because you can't say, you can't discriminate against the type of industrial plant that wants to come in. For example, if you allow Boeing to come in and set up a shop to build airplanes, that requires a heavy industrial area. Then you can't tell a data center, well, you can't come in just because we don't like you. That is discriminatory. And a couple of areas, including one county here in Michigan, or one township actually in Michigan, was sued because they basically were discriminatory and they did not have zoning that matched up with their master plan. So those are important things to look at. And then in addition, you need to make sure that you are asking the company that wants to come if they can meet these requirements. Number one, are you going to provide your own source of energy that does not create additional harms and hazards to the public or the environment? Number two, you do not have access to our water, municipal water, aquifers, Great Lakes, nothing. You have to use completely alternative cooled systems like they use in Europe. And that would be an engineered type of system. That would be, and they're expensive, so they don't like to do that. But they can do it if we're not giving them access to our water. Their 3M makes some alternative synthetic systems, dielectric systems, mineral oils, things like that. They can use other systems that do not use our water. And don't let them fool you by saying they're going to use a closed loop system, because a closed loop system, there's no such thing if they're using any amount of water at all. So it has to be a completely alternative cooling system. Then they have to tell you, how are you going to clean the minerals, or, you know, the sludge basically going through the system, picking up anti-corrosives, anti-scaling agents, biocides. What are you going to do with that? There's an environmental concern then with the blowdown or the discharge. Then finally, you have to tell them that they have to give you an upfront retainer to be kept in escrow of however many millions of dollars that it will take to completely decommission this plant once they move, because they will be moving soon. Most of these facilities will not be around past 3 years. There's a race to get them in outer space right now because quantum computing is happening quickly. Some of these hyperscale data centers can be replaced with something the size of a dining room table. And that's easy to get into outer space where it can be self-cooled, space-cooled. So all of this is a race right now, and it's happening. So a lot of these executives have already admitted they're not going to stay in these hyperscale facilities where they're going to be very expensive to maintain all these cooling systems, HVAC systems, fans, you name it. They're going to be abandoning these campuses, leaving our small towns and communities forever, ever changed. The characteristic, the culture of your small community is no longer what it was.
Well, so it'll impact very heavily here, Tammy, and we got to really focus on this. Tammy, let our listeners know where they can find out more about you, where they can find out more about getting involved with AI data centers. We're running out of time here, and I have to say thanks for joining us here.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't do all the things, but my public figure page on Facebook is Tammy, middle initial K, last name of Clark, and that's attached to my Instagram, and then I am also on Twitter, or X, at Tammy_K_Clark. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. What a great information segment there. We'll be back with Donald Schmidt. We'll be diving into UFO disclosure for those that are interested. Excited to have Donald Schmidt on the broadcast. Tammy K. Clark is our guest. Make sure you guys find her and follow her.
BOGO Supps, buy one, get one free supplements right now, has been extended. The Memorial Day sale was just that popular. We wanted to give y'all another day to take advantage of the buy one, get one sale on T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture, as well as the Ultra Methylene Blue Tincture. T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture is built to support thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. It's one of the life-changing products. You know, well, all of our products are life-changing, but iodine and the methylene blue are the two that for years we've had people call in and say, I have no idea how I survived without this. It's changed my life. And the thing is that you might not even know what an effect a lack of iodine is having on your body. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to make medical claims here, but I do know from personal experience and
you know, friends of mine start taking iodine and they're like, it's amazing. I sleep an hour less a night. Like, I just have more energy. I just need an hour less of sleep. Now, again, I don't know what the effect is going to be on you, but you aren't going to know until you try it. Maybe you're going around just thinking that, well, you're just getting older and the brain fog is setting in. It's just a matter of age and nothing you can do about it. Well, have you tried to do something about it? Have you tried to fight back against age and the poisons in our food and water? Because you're not going to know how effective and powerful this stuff is until you try it. You may very well realize that you're not just supposed to be in pain all the time. You're not supposed to just have brain fog all the time. That's a problem that you can solve. And we help you solve it by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Join the VIP club. Get massive discounts across the board. T3 trifecta iodine and ultramethylene blue tincture on sale right now for buy one, get one. Whatever you can do to support us, we absolutely appreciate it. And obviously the easiest and freest way is to share the link, share the content, upload our stuff, download our stuff, do whatever you want with it. But the most helpful way is, of course, to go to thealexjonesstore.com and make a purchase. Help yourself and help us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We need the United States economy to grow at over 2%. We need the U.S. economy to grow at 3%, especially with the growing deficits the federal government has. And so much of this money, not just the project, is going to be coming from the private sector, from savings accounts, from pension accounts, from insurance companies, and on and on and on.
That's right. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink just urged everyday citizens to think about growing with the United States, framing the plunder of retirement nest eggs as some kind of patriotic duty. Fink didn't mince words about the scale of the heist. The U.S. economy must accelerate from a sluggish 2% growth to a robust 3% just to handle ballooning federal deficits, and that money is going to be coming from the private sector, savings accounts, from pension accounts, and insurance companies. He painted a picture of exploding demand for electrons powering these data behemoths.
But as the governor was talking about, the need for electrons is growing every day. You know, if we're going to be the leader in technology, which we are, if we are going to be the leader in AI, which we presently are, it's just going to require trillions of dollars of investments. And if we don't invest in it, China will be the global leader in this.
Translation? Your 401ks and IRAs aren't safe havens anymore. They're the piggy bank for BlackRock's vision of an AI-dominated future where trillions get redirected into projects that conveniently align with the asset manager's own massive holdings in data centers and energy infrastructure.
Residents were told today that actually we're not going to provide you electricity anymore. The Nevada-based power company that is providing electricity to the residents of Lake Tahoe informed them today that, sorry, all the electricity we make, every watt of power that we generate is going to have to go to a nearby data center, and therefore you have until the end of next year to find a new source of electricity, and after that, we can't help you.
Thanks to the data center overlords, 49,000 residents, mostly on the California side of Lake Tahoe, are about to lose access to 75% of their electricity supply after May of 2027. Liberty Utilities is killing off 75% of the energy provided by NV Energy because NV Energy says it needs every megawatt for its own unprecedented data center growth. A massive international American tourist mecca packed with ski resorts, casinos, and 28 million visitors is getting squeezed by Google, Apple, Microsoft, and BlackRock. This is why we can't have nice things. Data centers already guzzled 22% of Nevada's electricity in 2024 alone and are cranking up to hit 35% by 2030 and a staggering 5,900 megawatts of demand by 2033. That's 2.8 times the entire output of the Hoover Dam.
We don't need another data center. You don't know what the health impact is. You got them all crunched together. You're going to have a mass exodus. You're going to ruin this community. You're going to ruin it. Ruin it if you let this continue.
Are you a member of a community where you've learned a data center is being proposed in your county? Have you decided to join your community in learning more about how this will impact farmland, the environment, your quality of life from the constant humming, noise, and light pollution? Are you concerned that your water may be drained by the data center or contaminated as we're seeing across the country? Well, you just might be a terrorist of some sort. According to 1,000 pages of unpublished reports from the Department of Homeland Security, FBI, and fusion centers, as reported by Wired.
The data center scam exposes the raw cynicism of the financial overlords at BlackRock, who manage trillions in ordinary Americans' hard-earned retirement funds while positioning themselves to profit handsomely from the very boom they're engineering at our expense. Fink's pitch isn't about national strength. It's a veiled demand to raid pensions for private gain, all while ordinary families foot the bill for skyrocketing energy costs, potential blackouts, and an unaccountable surveillance state.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at the AlexJonesStore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is AlexJonesLive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Raymond Schmidt is a seven-time best-selling investigative author, a former co-director of the Center of UFO Studies, where he's also served as a director of special investigations for 10 years. Presently, he is a lead investigator for the International UFO Museum Research Center in Roswell, New Mexico. He previously worked as a special investigator for the legendary Dr. J. Allen Hynek. He was the astronomer and scientific consultant to the UFO Air Force's Project Blue Book. Welcome to the broadcast, Donald Schmidt. How are you doing today? And boy, it's an interesting day when we can talk about UFO news in the mainstream media.
And isn't it ironic that I just got back from Roswell early this morning? And you would think that I'd be a little burned out with all this current attention and discussion. But I'm so amused that especially the mainstream media is demonstrating their naivety on the subject in spades, because they think that the government is rolling over and that the Pentagon is finally, after almost 80 years of deceit and cover-up, they're going to finally fess up and out of guilt or shame, I don't know, that they're just going to reveal all. As far as with the hope that maybe now we'll just go away. We'll leave them alone for the next 80 years.
Well, never mind that McCaslin and many other scientists have gone missing. You know, never mind that. That's not important. What's important is we got disclosure now. Never mind that the people that were probably responsible for hiding the secrets have disappeared. Where have they gone? Where are they? Does anyone know?
But, Chris, I'm a little cautious even about that. I did an interview over a month ago with CNN magazine, and they wanted me to go full-blown conspiracy on McCaslin, and I wouldn't do it. I said, because I pointed out, well, who's publicizing this? Who's putting this out there? Either as, okay, here's an example. If you don't want to be next, You know, you better keep your mouth shut. You better behave. Or, you know, it still comes back to the old saying, those who know don't talk, and those who don't know, they talk. So how much of this, again, is orchestrated? How much of this, again, is just propaganda? Again, essentially steering, you know, the herd, trying to get us, you know, well, don't look behind the curtain, or, you know, don't watch this hand while I'm doing something with this hand, that type of thing. And isn't it a shame that we're to this point that we just don't trust the government on most anything any longer?
Well, we don't know what is true. I mean, I asked the same question, and I like the way you take the objectivity that you take on the subject, because I remember reading the Podesta leaks where Tom DeLonge is talking to Podesta, and he's like, oh yeah, McCaslin said, yeah, we got the Roswell crash, but is that what he wanted Tom DeLonge to think? Did he actually want him to believe that, or is there really a crash? And you're the expert on this subject. I don't know if there's anyone that is more, researched than you are on this subject. I would say if there was a person that is the most researched, that investigated and dedicated their life to the subject of Roswell, that is you, Don. And I got to ask you. So let's talk about this. What is going on here? What is Roswell? Why is it important? And where are we at today with this whole UFO disclosure? What is it that what the government is trying to pass off as reality versus, you know, what might be just a cover up for government special aircraft?
Well, first of all, thank you for giving me this opportunity, because it's something, and it's not sour grapes as much as I'm quick to point out, not only that I was a skeptic on Roswell when we first made that trip down to the land of enchantment with the thought that we would be able to demonstrate it was nothing more than a balloon device, as the government still maintains. I wasn't ahead of the game with the claim that we were dealing with also anthropomorphic wooden crash dummies to account for the descriptions of the non-human bodies by the eyewitnesses. But that when we were working with the late Congressman Stephen Schiff of New Mexico, representing a good number of his own constituents, so he was way before Tim Burchett and Luna and Grothman and all the others, Burleson, you know, crying out as far as public hearings on the subject. And he was a lone wolf. Very few were giving him the time of day. He was running into just continuous brick walls, not only at the White House, but all the branches of the military and all the departments of intelligence, that type of thing. And he would often point out the fact that in as much as we had legitimate whistleblowers at that time, we had no less than 150 first-hand witnesses who were involved with the Roswell incident, who either had handled that wreckage at the time of the crash or were involved as far as with the non-human bodies. And as a result, we thought we had a tremendous case that we could have presented, especially with all of these eyewitnesses, some of them, some of the most high-ranking officers in the military, and that they could testify under oath that they handled wreckage that was not from this earth. And we failed because we could not only enlist other people in Washington, but we couldn't enlist the media. We couldn't get anyone to step forward and say, Roswell needs to have its day in court. And I find this more than, you know, coincidence that after the very last of the first 10 Roswell witnesses pass away, now we're having hearings. And now we're having non-whistleblowers that are testifying, well, I heard this or I was told this. I'm sorry, in my book, you are not a whistleblower because you can't prove anything. You didn't see anything. You only heard. You were only told. And so to me, it's so much song and dance. And I'm sorry in that I'm not trying to throw cold water on the situation, but we had a golden opportunity in the past 20 years, and they ignored us. They had no interest in revealing as far as any truth to this subject.
Well, they wanted to control the narrative, and that's why they're looking at it now, is because we can't go and confirm this. But what we do know, and I learned this from you, is that the government went and threatened a bunch of people
that claims to have seen something in Roswell, didn't they? But I think it's just interesting. Why would the government, you know, bribe and threaten individuals if it was just a weather balloon?
Precisely. Down to children. Can you imagine that they were sequestering parents in the one room and children in another? And the parents would be told that we will kill your children if you continue talking about this in public. If you continue discussing this as far as to the true reality of what had happened, this crash of this craft of unknown origin north of Roswell at that time. And lest we, you know, we keep in mind the United States Army Air Corps at that time. This, and at Roswell, the Roswell Army Airfield, it was the very first atomic bomb squadron in the world. They were the elite within the military at that time, where they hand selected the best officers, best pilots, crew, doctors, nurses, all stationed at Roswell at that time. And they put out that press release on Tuesday, July 8th of 1947, that they had actually captured a flying saucer. And the point being, Chris, they started it. They're the ones who made that pronouncement, that claim. The witnesses didn't, and we certainly didn't. And yet now they try to put that genie back in the box, and, well, 5 hours later, it's just a weather balloon with common, you know, components that even a five-year-old child would recognize. And these, you know, basically incompetent, you know, military people at the Roswell Army Airfield who were in charge of the atomic bomb, but they couldn't recognize rubber and foil and wooden sticks and string and tape. And I love this, Chris. Here's the picture of Major Jesse Marcel, who was the lead intelligence officer in the United States military at that time. And he's pictured with the substituted weather balloon. He was ordered to pose by General Roger Ramey, who was the boss of his commanding officer, Colonel William Blanchard at Roswell, and he was ordered to pose for two pictures. And it's clearly the substituted weather balloon. It's just flimsy foil, sticks, rubber, you know, tape, and string. And the fact that the media continues to present this as the actual witness. It doesn't matter that we have signed affidavits from the people who were at that press conference that it was substituted, that they were the ones who switched it, that the balloon was a hoax. It doesn't matter because, again, it all comes down to a preconceived belief in what they want it to be, juxtaposed to what it actually was.
Well, let's talk about this for a moment, because then the government brought out their little fake UFO that they tried to fly around, and they're like, oh, look, see, this is what it was. And then there was a whole other UFO crash that happened in the Roswell area, if I remember correct from my research. Can you speak on that a little bit as well?
Well, you're talking about Aztec in 1948. Right. And the one problem I do have with Aztec, like so many of the other subsequent experiences, is that they don't have the firsthand witnesses. As I had mentioned earlier, that we had up to 150 firsthand at Roswell. And then we have that press release. And then you have the first atomic bomb squadron who were directly involved. And then you have all the press accounts all the way to the Pentagon in Washington describing how the wreckage from Roswell was being transported to Wright Field in Dayton, Ohio for testing and analysis. Now, why would we need to test a very common weather balloon device to see essentially what makes it fly, so to speak? And that's the difference that sets Roswell apart from all the others. The fact that you have that press release, you have all the first-hand witnesses, and those witnesses swore affidavits, video depositions, even up to their deathbed confessions. This is one of the recently released documents of this, depositing as far as all this new material as far as to the public and acting as though it's anything new. That's an FBI telex describing the Roswell weather balloon. It describes exactly the second, you know, explanation to what the Roswell Army Airfield had recovered, you know, just that day before. And if you are to read all the way through that FBI telex from the Dallas office, I believe it's at 6:17 that evening. So it was after the weather balloon press conference in General Ramey's office at Carswell Army Airfield in Dallas. And the FBI refutes the balloon explanation. They actually state in that document that based on their telephone conversations between their Dallas FBI office and Wright Field in Dayton, Ohio, where the material is all destined, where the material is all going, that's not what they've been discussing. They claim that it was something else altogether, that it wasn't a balloon. It was something that, you know, needed testing and analysis, beyond just a cursory examination in General Ramey's office. So Ramey had even canceled the continuation of the transport of that wreckage. And yet here the FBI is saying, no, it's going on the right field for testing. So that particular document we have had since 1985. And now to claim that it's something new and for the press to, you know, react as though this dumping of these new supposed documents is anything fantastic. And I look at them, I go, this is all material we've had before. This is all the same old, same old. There's nothing new about this, nothing extraordinary. And again, I'm sadly not impressed.
Well, we're just acknowledging things like that you and other people have exposed, and now they're going to say, okay, well, we discovered it because it's been released. Never mind that Don Schmidt and other researchers before him have come forward and mentioned this. We're not going to give them credit. The mainstream needs the credit. The government needs the credit. In the meantime, you were just tinfoil hat whack jobs, and now they want to say that, oh, by the way, we're going to take credit for all your hard work. It's interesting to me that they're mentioning four different species, because I read that William Cooper used to talk about that. He has an indictment of MJ-12, where he talks about one of them being a human race, one of them being a gray race, one of them being a praying mantis race, and one of them being a reptilian race. And, the government, there's documents that says the government is worried that, oh, they could infiltrate our government because they look like humans. They're a Nordic race. And, you know, I don't know what's true or not. All I know is our government lies to us. And you've done the research, and we've come across the idea that something happened at Roswell, and we were being lied to about what happened. And, you know, was it extraterrestrial, or was it something that our government was working on for their own, military? What's your opinion that a lot of these UFO sightings are just government aircraft or experimental government aircraft?
Well, what was wonderful about 1947 at the time of the Roswell incident, both rocket and jet propulsion were in their infancy, as well as radar. And there were no satellites, and there certainly were no drones or anything of that sort. So the skies were actually quite virgin, rather pristine. And so there were few alternative explanations. And as a result, Roswell, stands so firmly, not only based on all the eyewitness descriptions of the very nature of the wreckage and the fact that it was nearly indestructible, as they described it. Engineers at the base at Roswell, for example, describe how they took a 16-pound sledgehammer. And I always joke with people that they should go to a Home Depot hardware store and even pick up a 16-pound hammer. And, it would go through your car like tissue paper. And yet, the engineers described that no matter how hard or how often they would strike this wreckage, it wouldn't even scratch. And then you had what appeared to be fiber optics, and then what we refer to, still as our holy grail, this memory material that you could fold it, you could crease it, you could crumble it to a ball, and each and every time you would place it down, it would unravel, it would unfurl, it would practically flow like water as it would assume its original shape and size right before your eyes. And this clearly was something way beyond our technology at that time. And yet, it didn't matter if it was the highest ranking officer or if it was a child back at that time who had an opportunity to hold in their very hands, that material. Their descriptions are identical. There's no variation whatsoever. And today, by today's standards, it's almost like the downtown L.A. as far as the sky is just full of traffic. And as a result, when I hear of anything today, it's a yawner because, there are so many conventional possibilities. That was not the case with Roswell. And we, you know, made it a point that through the course of our own investigation, we looked at every alternative explanation at that time, you know, an errant German V2 rocket, and whether this had anything to do with Nazi Germany, whether it had anything to do with the Soviet Union at that time, whether it was our own technology. And Chris, I have to always point out that for those of us who have been out to that high desert, that open plain where all of this wreckage rained down and covered an area of almost a mile long based on all the eyewitness testimony. The fact that I have flown over the area in small planes and helicopters on numerous occasions, and one thing becomes quite evident early, you know, as you ascend over the area, you can see for 50 miles that it is just unobscured within, you know, that, you know, entire radius, you know, of distance. And so as a result, if we were missing anything, if we were, you know, waiting to hear witnesses inform us as to the location of something we were testing and something that we were testing nonetheless over the 4th of July weekend at that time, when most base personnel would have been home on leave with their families. And the point being, Chris, nothing was being tested. Nothing was reported, you know, missing. We weren't looking for anything. We weren't searching for anything. We were not conducting any aerial reconnaissance to find anything. And the point being, if it wasn't ours, then whose was it?
Well, that's just the question. We can't really speculate because of the advancement of the technology in the era. And that's one of the things that really sent me down the rabbit hole of searching in the Library of Congress of UFO sightings prior to the 1940s. Because even back in the late 1800s, there were newspaper reports of dancing stars in the sky that would come down to the trees and light up the trees. And that cowboys on horses would walk back pale face. They'd be scared. And these are like, could they be fake stories in a newspaper? I mean, we've got fake news now, but there's like a lot of witnesses that were reported and it made the news and it was very interesting. So it isn't something that just started in the 1940s, these sightings and these interesting anomalies. And there is definitely a cover up there. And the question is why? And it's because the government doesn't want us to know the truth, or they don't feel like we can handle the truth, or they don't want our enemies to have it. But now they seem to be okay with letting us all know about what happened about 100 years ago, we'll say 70 years ago, right? 70, 75 right. years ago. And they want to take credit for it. But I think it's very interesting nonetheless because people don't understand the significance of Roswell. There was a lot of investigation that you know went into it. I could tell by the fact that when I read you had a book that you put out, I read it, and it talked about them threatening people, offering bribes, amongst other things. You don't bribe people. You don't threaten people if it's a weather balloon. And then, you know, at some point that this wreckage got moved allegedly to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, right? Is that correct? Or at least that's the urban legend?
It did for a fact, because then it was practically like chapter two, so to speak. In other words, tracing the trail of the evidence. And then we tracked down the former base commander at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, General Arthur Exon, and Colonel Robert Friend, who was the second last director at Project Blue Book, which you had mentioned at the beginning of the segment, Chris. And he had been stationed at Wright Field when the material came in. So we started to interview the eyewitnesses who were on the receiving end, who were involved in the actual analysis and the testing. And General Exon, for example, he was working as far as with Foreign Technology Division.
And Donald Schmidt, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're coming to commercial break. We'll be back. Donald Schmidt is our guest expert on UFO disclosure and Roswell. Make sure that you guys check out his website and dive in. Drop some comments in the chat. Let us know what you think about the whole Roswell incident and the new UFO disclosure. Why now? Why now? Why are they taking credit for it? And is it real or is it not? When we come back, maybe we'll get some answers with Donald Schmidt.
So excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on, but we need your support. Your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out. More coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com separately. I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 trifecta iodine at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so. Most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, for even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products, so it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot.
Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The War Room. I'm your host, Krishan T. Harris, filling in for Harrison Smith. Make sure you guys check me out, Krishan T. Harris on X.com. You can find me on The Rundown Live on all the platforms, Spotify, iHeartRadio, The Rundown Live. I'm airing live on Ground Zero Plus as well, weekdays, 5 days a week from noon to 2 o'clock Central Standard Time. Today's guest is Donald Schmidt, expert in Roswell and UFO disclosure. And he has a lot of the same questions I do. Why now? Why are they giving us disclosure? Why are these people disappearing? And a lot of people want to say, oh, it's alien. And everyone wants to pretend like we know, and the mainstream media wants to control the narrative. But at the end of the day, they don't. Like, you know, after 80 years, they had Roswell, they swept it under the rug, but now it's okay for you to have the data. Everyone's dead. You can't, you know, check your balances. You can't talk to anyone, but, you know, we're supposed to believe whatever the official narrative is. And just like Donald here, I think it smells. It doesn't sound right to me. And people keep pushing to, you know, Project Bluebeam, amongst other things. They have different ideas of which way the government is going. And I don't deny that there's a facet of social engineering, because we've been programmed for a long time. Ancient aliens, encounters of the third kind, ET. And I gotta say, there's many different types of UFOs. Everyone wants to think they're saucers, but I was listening to Alex Jones just a couple of days ago when I was on my way to Grand Rapids, and he was talking about him seeing a UFO. And I've heard of this type of UFO. They're like glowing orbs that are triangular. They're symmetrical, and then they all come together, and then they just disappear. There's Tic Tac UFOs. There's these Flight of the Navigator looking UFOs. There's orbs and metal ball UFOs. But the thing is what are they? Are they government secret aircraft, and we're trying to claim that they're UFOs, so this way our enemies don't know that we have them? But for some reason now, they're they want to have disclosure. And I don't know how much of that has to do with the Epstein files. I'm going to say that part of me wants to believe that they're like, everyone's digging in these 3 million Epstein files. Barack Obama almost all of a sudden is like, yep, oh, by the way, there's aliens. In Wisconsin, we say, oh, there's aliens. And then Donald Trump's like, yeah, you know, even though you guys tried to put me in jail for, you know, having top secret documents, I'm going to let Barack Obama go on this one, and we're going to declassify alien stuff. And essentially, and we're going to go to war with Iran. So in the meantime, here's these UFO disclosure documents. And yeah, you were probably somewhat right about the Roswell crash. Pretty fair diagnosis, right, Donald?
Thing too, Chris, is that they are not backing off of their now four official explanations regarding Roswell. The fact that we have to date interviewed over 600 witnesses who were either directly or indirectly involved with the incident back in 1947. And then when they came out with the weather balloon explanation, 5 hours after they had actually claimed they had captured, they had recovered an actual flying saucer. And then in 1994, because of Congressman Stephen Schiff and the pressure we were putting on the Washington for having hearings on Roswell, it was Colonel Richard Weaver had a press conference at the Pentagon, and they admitted they lied about the balloon explanation, and they presented what they call their new theory. And that was Project Mogul, which was a Russian spy balloon project with the thought that a high altitude balloon with a sonoboy with an acoustic listening device that should the Soviet Union detonate their own first atomic bomb, we would pick up the shock wave in the upper atmosphere. Well, the Soviets wouldn't detonate their own bomb for four years after we did at Trinity site in New Mexico. But nonetheless, Project Mogul failed miserably. It was due to increased levels of radiation in Eastern Europe that we finally concluded, well, they finally did it. So Mogul had nothing to do with it. But the point is, Chris, Mogul was the same balloon components as the original one that they trotted out to explain away Roswell. So there was nothing unusual about it, nothing different about it. And so there again, it did not explain away what all those eyewitnesses right up to their deathbeds were claiming was something not made here on planet Earth. and then to address the entire body, you know, as far as situation of eyewitnesses that we were presenting. 3 years later, they had another press conference at the Pentagon, and they trotted out the anthropomorphic wooden crash dummies, these 6-foot-tall, plastic, metal-hinged, as far as parachuted, harnessed, as far as crash dummies, that they were dropping from high altitude to test breathing equipment, oxygen equipment. It was called Project High Dive and Project Excelsior. And the problem with that explanation was the project didn't originate until 5 years after Roswell. So now we have the government creating time travel. And so, I mean, it basically comes down to stalling for time, running out the clock. That as long as there were firsthand witnesses to Roswell and specifically describing something of an unearthly origin, that they had to do all they could to keep the press and the general public off of their backs, demanding to either fess up. How can all these eyewitnesses be lying? How can they all be wrong, given that they were in charge of the atomic bomb back in 1947? How could they be so mistaken and still appear as though they were being transparent, as though they were coming clean, that they were disclosing information, supporting an official explanation? But it's basically known as kill a bigger story by giving out a little smoke. And I feel that's all they're doing right now. That there's a bigger story behind all this, whether it has anything to do with UFOs. And I guess that's where I stand. Why now? As we both have been asking, what has precipitated this? All of a sudden, we need to have disclosure. Why now?
Well, what do you think is the main reason that the U.S. government maintained the Roswell cover-up for almost 80 years now? There has to be motivation, and obviously their motivation has changed for their kind of, quote, full disclosure, end quote. But what does this all look like to you? What's your whole synopsis? What do you think is really happening?
Well, just imagine back at that time. Now, it's merely 9 years after the Orson Welles War of the Worlds broadcast.
That's right.
So that's still fresh in their memories. I mean, and they don't know if this is a vanguard of an approaching invasion, and they have wreckage, and they have bodies, and they have no answers. And if it's truly an advanced technology, and if you can't bridge that technology, whether it's alien, whether it's something from another dimension, whether it's something from a parallel universe, whether it's something even spiritual, supernatural, that type of thing. How do you find the on button? How do you plug it in, so to speak? And I think it's as simple as this, Chris. And my dear friend, the late screenwriter Tracy Torme, he was the son of the famous singer and composer Mel Torme. And Tracy would use the analogy, if you could take something as simple as a toaster oven and you could teleport it back in the time, say back to the Middle Ages, and they might be able to put it together. I mean, they may be able to take it apart, put it together again. But if you can't plug it in, you can't get it to work. So it's way beyond your comprehension. So this thought that, like Will Smith in Independence Day, that he's able to jump into the cockpit of that alien craft and he's able to fly it like he's done it 100 times before. I'm sorry. I'm of the position that it's still a cover up of ignorance, that they still have no answers. They still do not know from where, they don't know from why, and they don't know who. And as a result, they truly have nothing to disclose. And as a result, all they're doing once again is stalling, stalling for their own ignorance, their own incompetence, and the idea that they may be just as much in the dark as we are.
Well, at the end of the day, what can they do with it if they don't know how to use it? And I guess dissect it. Some people claim that's where we got CD technology from and that they've been able to back and reverse engineer these things.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then you hear now the now the new woo thing is that you use your consciousness to fly it. You don't even need any kind of controls. You go in there and you touch the spacecraft and you think about where you're going to go and the spacecraft flies. I don't know about any of that. It's a bunch of weird hogwash. And there's been a lot of weird.
Not necessarily, Chris. That part that you just described. He was a flight engineer with the 393rd. Bomb squadron. So he's not just a flight mechanic. He was an engineer. And that's Sergeant Robert Ennis. He was a reluctant witness for me for years. And as he was approaching the end, he finally started to open up. And I will never forget, he puts his hand on my shoulder. And these were the guys that worked on the B-29 bombers, the silver plates. And they could take them apart down to the last rivet and put them back together again. And so He says to me, "Don, before I go, you got to find out how that damn thing flew. It didn't have a moving part on it." So in other words, what? It didn't have an engine. It didn't have any controls. It didn't have any buttons. It didn't have any switches. What? He says, no parts, nothing moving. So then you start thinking, was it thought projection? That you sit down into the cockpit of the ship and your mind basically tells it what to do. And that's what he was suggesting. And again, he was there. He saw it firsthand. So given his description, I have to at least accept that's a possibility.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I've heard some of those things too, and I've read a lot of different documents on it, and you start to wonder, well, what's possible? What's not? And I know you mentioned time travel, and I remember the miraculous story of Stephen Gibbs, who had created the hyperdimensional resonator. And it was a similar idea where you had you use magnetic coils to astral project. And allegedly that ties into MK Ultra and Montauk and all these other very interesting things. And our government had obsession with using your thoughts, remote viewing, drug use in MK Ultra. But I wonder how much of that might have stemmed from their actual interest in wanting to find somebody that could fly a UFO aircraft, you know, at the end of the day, if that's how it works, you know?
Well, we consider just how much Nazi Germany and specifically Adolf Hitler was into the occult.
Well, and yeah, the Thrill Society.
And whether it was the Ark of the Covenant and even supposedly their block as far as the bell, that they were already experimenting with anti-gravity. And in going through the late Colonel Howard McCoy's files, and he worked under General Curtis LeMay at Research and Development in Washington at within a few years after Roswell, and to find that as early as the late 1940s, they were already experimenting with ESP, that they were already looking into psychic phenomena. So what was the impetus? And I'm not saying it was Roswell. I'm not saying it was UFOs, but they were open-minded they were willing to, essentially stretch the envelope as to anything was possible. But what provided them with that fodder? The idea that, well, we think we're the highest level of technology and intelligence within our own, sphere of existence. But what if there was something else? And is it automatically extraterrestrial? It doesn't have to be. It could just be something that, and I'm willing to accept, it could be something that exists right around us. It's just from another dimension, and it's able to slip in and out at will, and it becomes just as physical within our dimension as theirs, and then it's able to slip like a light switch on and off. And that pretty much describes the UFO phenomenon. Now you see it, now you don't.
Well, that's honestly what I've been thinking my whole, this whole last couple of years since I've been researching it. I started researching the UFO phenomenon because you and I were speaking at the same conference in Wisconsin, and Chase Klutschka is like, "Have you ever investigated UFOs?" And she was the head of MUFON at the time. And so I started looking into it, but I met Mark D'Antonio, who's an incredible individual, and he's along the subscription of what's called KK Gravitons. And how that the UFO phenomenon is really them plugging out of our dimension, going into a fourth dimension, traveling a small distance, but it's a long distance in our dimension, and then they plug back in. And it's a very interesting concept because KK gravitons have just been discovered by CERN.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So and it's so a real thing.
It's a real thing. And one of the things that my late scientific director, Dr. Hynek, had as an astronomer was wrestling with the vast distances between point A and point B. That the very notion of physically traveling, our nearest star system being 4.3 light Alpha Centauri. And Hynek would use, you know, just the comparison where you would take not the width, but the thickness of a single playing card from a deck of cards. And he would say, just imagine if that thickness equaled the distance of the Earth to the Moon. And then he would ask, how many playing cards from the Earth to our nearest star, Alpha Centauri? Nobody would ever come close. And the answer is 19 miles of playing cards. And again, it's beyond comprehension. And yet, if it's something that exists right here, it's something that is, you know, it exists right within our realm of our own existence, and it's able to slip in and out at will. That would account for why we have as many sightings. This Hynek would talk about if we'd have one or two good sightings a year globally, that would smack much better of something off the planet. But the very fact that we have hundreds of thousands of UFO reports from over 150 countries, you know, almost as many countries that are in the UN. And how is that possible? And what makes us so unique? What makes Earthlings so special that you would have this constant barrage of extraterrestrial craft that are visiting us every day, every night? To what end? You know, especially if we're nothing more than tagged animals to them. You know, you consider what would be the predominant theme that would come across monitoring our daily news broadcast, that we're a barbaric, you know, species of, you know, of individuals here on this planet whose primary activity is tribal warfare. And they would land on the White House front lawn. You know, what would our first reaction be? You know, we shoot first and ask questions later.
Well, at the end of the day, that's the way our government is. Look at the AI data centers. We need to have AI data centers to beat China. Well, you know, what would be the thought if there were UFOs and aliens? I really don't like you. I kind of question the whole narrative. Disclosure, it's really a nothing burger at the end of the day, but we might get a little sample of some of the truth in the narrative.
We're
going to
get some smoke.
Right.
You just mentioned AI. And as we're approaching the end of the program, I think that's where this is all going. And it's the much greater concern on my part that AI is going to essentially revise and rewrite history as we know it. It's all going to become scripted to someone else's agenda, including the history of UFOs. That everything is going to be explained the way very conveniently, that there's an answer to everything, and that the government will still remain the end all, the superior intelligence in all this. And just trust us, ladies and gentlemen, because we're telling you everything we know, even though it's 100% contrived and scripted.
Well, right. And at the end of the day, it's a very interesting thought, because if there were aliens visiting us, they probably wouldn't be the real aliens. They would have been a synthetic biological drone developed to be able to withstand the type of travel to come here and mm-hmm. do a job, mm-hmm. much like we'd send a drone in anywhere else before sending humans in if it was going to be dangerous. So it's a very interesting subject all around. I know I've heard rumors and read documents saying that, you know, these grays are actually drones and they got chips in them, amongst other right. things. And I don't know what's true or what's not when I read it. So I kind of push it to the side in the knowledge bank and say, this is information. I don't know what to do with it yet, Donald. It's like the KK gravitons. We now know that mini black holes or micro black holes are real. They can do anti-gravity. CERN has now proved that. It's an interesting subject. You know, what is dark matter? Is it the dark dimension? Where are we going with these things when they travel? Are they punching in and out of our existence and then punching back in? And what is it that our ancients saw when they claimed to have spoken to deities, the jinn or the watchers or whatever it is? Our history has been impacted by things that we cannot explain, Donald. So we got about 5 minutes left here in the program. So any last thoughts on this disclosure and the missing scientists? What are your thoughts on the missing scientists? Do you think that there is some kind of smoke there, that there's something going on, there's a connection between what they're researching, or could these just be a series of misfortunate events where some are dying and some are just disappearing and not to be found?
Well, I'm more concerned because, as we both know, that on any given day, that law enforcement, even the FBI, is working on disappearances and strange deaths of, you know, dozens, possibly hundreds of people, and it never sees the light of day. So who is now releasing, disclosing this information? Who's trying to draw this connection? It's not the UFO community, and I don't know that it's even the media. And so we always look at, especially when it comes to propaganda, who's the, who is spreading the disinformation and to what ends, to whose benefit. And I question, why are they now appearing to be jumping, cartwheels, as though they're going to present the entire enchilada that we're going to receive, albeit, this slow drip effect of information, and that we're going to be very satisfied, and that the President Trump is going to be able to say, well, I was, as far as the disclosure president, I did release everything. But just as it's been discussed as far as with some of the Congress people involved, why are you only asking for files? Why are you only asking for photographs? Why are you only asking for videos? If I were any one of you, I'd be saying, you got 24 hours and I want a piece of wreckage on my desk. They're not so bold. They're not doing that. Why not? Is it because they're being warned? Well, we can't scare them off. We got to let them do this incrementally, and we got to let them, do this at their own pace, because if we highball it, if we want, as far as like the art of the deal, that you always go for all you can get, and even if you just get a little, you still have succeeded. And I don't buy that. I don't buy that. Because if you accept that there's been, for example, a crash retrieval program for all these years, again, why aren't you like as an Independence Day? I want to see the evidence. And I'm sorry, files and photographs have never done it. And they're never going to do it today, especially with AI and with CGI and computers. Anything can be faked. But if it's the real article, that's the one thing that could blow this open overnight. Why aren't they going there? And again, these are the people that supposedly are the ones that are making demands on our behalf, but you're not going all the way. You're only going halfway. I'm sorry. I'm not impressed.
No, neither am I, because I know somebody who knows somebody who told me that they saw something. And at the end of the day, it makes me wonder about the time dilation experiments allegedly at Area 51, because then it all starts to make sense if that's legitimately what's going on there. But we only have a minute left, Donald. I want you to be able to plug your stuff.
Chris, I might also quickly say it. And then the idea that they talk about how they're being briefed, and that if they were to disclose what they've seen or what they've heard, first of all, if you were briefed as far as on anything classified, you wouldn't even be able to admit that. The fact that they're even coming out and dangling this carrot that if you know what I know, it's the old, again, the creation of the straw man. You build it up, then you tear it down. And they're playing right along with it.
So, yeah, it keeps everyone's eyes off the Epstein files at the end of the day, right? And everything else. So, Donald, let our listeners know where they can find out more about you. We're out of time here, brother. We'll have to have you back on.
Quickly, of course, Amazon, the books are all available as far as the recently published ones, and then certainly the website, Roswell-Investigator.com, and then certainly the UFO Museum in Roswell. So we're approaching our 6 million visitor at the museum. So it's become the mecca.
Well, let me know. Maybe I'll show up. Maybe I can be.
Oh, I'd love to have you, Chris.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you're in Wisconsin. I got to get an interview from you if you're still here.
You bet. I am just outside of Milwaukee. So you bet. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on. Donald Schmidt was our guest. Check him out. Kristan T. Harris signing out for Harrison Smith. We'll see you guys soon. Tune in tomorrow. Alex Jones, InfoWars, and the Alex Jones Network.
BOGO Supps.
buy one, get one free supplements right now has been extended. The Memorial Day sale was just that popular. We wanted to give y'all another day to take advantage of the buy one, get one sale on T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture, as well as the Ultra Methylene Blue Tincture. T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture is built to support thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. It's one of the life-changing products. You know, well, really a lot of, really all of our products are life-changing, but iodine and the methylene blue are the two that for years we've had people call in and say, I have no idea how I survived without this. It's changed my life. And the thing is that you might not even know what an effect a lack of iodine is having on your body. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to make medical claims here, but I do know from personal experience and you know, friends of mine start taking iodine and they're like, it's amazing. I sleep an hour less a night. Like, I just have more energy. I just need an hour less of sleep. Now, again, I don't know what the effect is going to be on you, but you aren't going to know until you try it. Maybe you're going around just thinking that, well, you're just getting older and the brain fog is setting in. It's just a matter of age and nothing you can do about it. Well, have you tried to do something about it? Have you tried to fight back against age and the poisons in our food and water? Because you're not going to know how effective and powerful this stuff is until you try it. You may very well realize that you're not supposed to be. You're not just supposed to be in pain all the time. You're not supposed to just have brain fog all the time. That's a problem that you can solve. And we help you solve it by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Join the VIP club. Get massive discounts across the board. T3 Trifecta Iodine and Ultra Methylene Blue Tincture on sale right now for buy one, get one. Whatever you can do to support us, we absolutely appreciate it. And obviously the easiest and freest way is to share the link, share the content, upload our stuff, download our stuff, do whatever you want with it. But the most helpful way is, of course, go to thealexjonesstore.com and make a purchase. Help yourself and help us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.